This week, we bid a fond farewell to our telephone operator, Pete Shelley. Ne sais pas la raison d'être, but I believe he found his. Stay tuned for more stories, happy, sad, hilarious, and facepalmy, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with our 755th episode for this December the 9th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gaming lifestyle for the last time tonight. Before you panic, of course, I'm talking about the last time on Shoutcast, allegedly, assuming all of the tech tests and all that stuff go well. Next week, live, we will be over on Twitch, and I'll reiterate that. We've been talking about that for a few weeks now, but I'll reiterate that in a minute. In the meantime, joining us for this special episode of sorts of Orange Lounge Radio, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Sup, bitches?
Welcome back. Nice to have you here without the use of radio magic.
Happy Hanukkah.
That's what I was going to say. Instead, tonight, we have Hanukkah magic bringing Dark Sakura to the studio. But Hanukkah magic's it's the real deal. She's here live. So,
I
sure am. It's great to have you.
Trying to get back in the chat.
And you know what is very special about Jamie being here is that, and this is, you know, tonight is a special night because Jamie actually got in the kitchen and cooked for the show tonight. Now, before y'all send your hate mail, I would never, you know, make those types of jokes anymore. However,
I did it on purpose.
She did it on purpose because of the holiday, and it's a little,
as the token Jew.
Yes,
I have to. You know, we have a Loki here as our Jew adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
We needed latkes.
Yes,
and I have my candles on fire right now.
Yep.
So we have,
and they're on full blast. This is tonight's last
tonight
night.
Tonight is the last
so
night.
So it's every
so
candle.
I have two Hanukkah, with all 9 candles on it, because you have your shamash and your 8 candles.
Right, the one that lights the others.
18 candles.
That's right. So I hope the house doesn't burn down. You get to blow them out when they get
it
to a certain
graduate level. High school now.
You get to blow
them. Didn't follow Miss Cracker's recipe, Sister Brie. Barry. I actually just bought Straits Kosher Latke Mix and did it from a box.
And Dark Sakura, of course, is reading from our live chat room because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork and vognetwork.com. And you can actually follow us live over at live.vognetwork.com. And again, we're trying to make everything with the change as seamless as possible. If you go to live.vognetwork.com next week, what you're going to see is instead of the regular chat room, you're just going to see the Twitch with us there and all that stuff. So hopefully for those of you that go to live.vognetwork.com out of habit, and the fact that I'll probably still say it on the show because I've been saying it for years, that will still work as a portal to where we are taping live. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, then great. You can keep doing that. Everything will still be as it is on the podcast feed, as we've been saying for weeks and weeks. So I don't want to dwell on it too much tonight because, again, we're still waiting on the final things to arrive from a technical perspective. And then we're going to kind of remodel this room in some ways to get it broadcast ready. And we're aiming for next Sunday being the first show. That way it gives us gives us 2 or 3 weeks, and then in 2019, we're going to go full steam ahead with the promo and about really trying to get out there about, like, hey, did you know that these old assholes who've been doing this show since their mid-20s are still going, and they're going now on Twitch? Won't that be fun?
Yep.
All right. Well, say hello to that old asshole. It's Techmaster Loki. It's here every week.
Hello.
How are you doing, Loki?
I'm fine.
So I thought it was funny because you were talking about that you were doing your own Twitch stream playing DDR this week, and you were doing a stream on Thursday night, right?
Yes.
Were you still doing Euromix, or are you back on Max now?
I'm on Euromix too.
Okay.
I'm still playing that.
Okay. And so you've been doing some DDR on your Twitch stream, and then as you were like, why isn't anybody here? Where did everybody go? And oh yeah, the Game Awards were tonight, right?
Well, sometimes there isn't anyone there, so, and it wasn't exactly the most a smooth going stream. Mm-hmm. I had a ton of drops for some reason, which I never have that issue.
Weird.
And then also the kids came out and said that the cat had gotten into our bedroom somehow. And so I had to go fish her out of that in the middle of the stream. And then it took me 4 reboots to finally get Euromix 2 to boot up. So it was like really being a pain in the ass. It's okay. As I mentioned on the stream several times, Euromix 2 is just like, it's confusing. It is such like this weird, ugly stepchild of the DDR series. Not to say it's bad, but it's like Max 2 was pretty streamlined. You know, you had your options menu where you put in your speed mods and difficulties and stuff like that, and it all makes sense. Euromix 2, when you select a song, you select the difficulty after you select the song. All of your mods, including speed mods, have to be done with foot panel combos like you would in, like, fourth mix.
Oh, God. All right.
It's fucking weird.
All right.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And then, like... And on top of that, you can't do speed mods or any other mods in non-stops, or at least I haven't figured out a way to do that. And non-stops are integrated into the normal song selection. So when you first start off, it says non-stop, and you can select that, and then it goes in the non-stop mode. It just doesn't make any goddamn sense.
And for anybody that hasn't played DDR in a long time, that whole last 2 minutes of you ranting probably didn't make any sense either.
It was based off of Max 2. Just leave it how Max 2 was. Put different songs in there. Done. You don't have to do anything else. Right. Instead, they're like, let's fuck it all up.
Let me go to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com for some comments. Dark Tetsuya says, so next Sunday is like the soft launch / beta test / working out the kinks.
It's
yes.
The Fallout 76 launch.
It is. It is absolutely that. It's VOG Early Access starts next week.
You have to understand.
That's the plan.
This is... We're going the AAA route, so we're launching this. It's feature complete.
Absolutely. That's what next week
is.
Any
bugs that are in there are complete
features. Which is funny because next week is OLR 756, so it kind of works. Kind of. Sort of. Anyway, also in our chat, Sia Tiberian chat says, insert Blanche Devereaux the change memes here. That's a very apropos comparison, is that OLR is going through menopause. Would that be correct, Dark Sakura? OLR is going through menopause.
I would say we're actually getting ready to graduate high school.
I would say with this move to Twitch, we're going to go hang out with the cool...
This is like going to college.
Yeah, we're going to hang out. It's like Jerry Blank, you know? I'm back in school from Strangers with Candy.
Oh, yeah, I never watched much
of
that.
Okay, well, how about Sally O'Malley from Saturday Night Live? I'm 50. 50 years old.
You know what? We're going to be going to college and learning how to hang out in coffee shops.
Right. We're going to hang out with the cool kids like Ninja.
And have
cool.
And have CBD vapes.
Yep. I'm cool like Ninja.
And sneak Boone's Strawberry Hill from our older friends.
Well, clearly we're not playing enough Fortnite to be cool, so, you know.
Sonic Fox. I got he's gay, black, furry. I got one of those three things going for me. So, you know, we're cool.
Now
we
all you
with
need
him.
To do is become gay and furry.
Stop it. All right. Going to our chat at live.vognetwork.com. ActDef says, Ninja doesn't hang out with girls, though. Well, you know.
He's married, though.
Neither do I, wink. Well, that's a lie.
I don't count.
No, you totally count, because without girls, who would go shopping for shoes with me? I mean, you serve a very important.
Do you know how many drag queens I know? I can hook you up.
Let's see. Also in chat. No, I hope you all know these are just jokes, because I know we live in a clip happy, you know, world and that whole thing. So please, I hope you all know we're just having a good time here at OLR.
Yeah, they could bring up all my old shit on Twitter. I don't fucking care. That's the problem. It's like, you see, I don't care. I'm not going to resign from whatever political position I'm in.
I already know. Well, I mean, there was...
I don't hold any political office.
There was that part of me that's like, I could never run for political office because of the things I've
sure
done
you
and
could.
Said
you
on
just,
OLR.
You just...
But now look at who's the fucking president. It's like, wow, you can do the worst things in the world and still be president. Like, it's amazing. Anyway, let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Sia Tiberi says, wait, so this is OLR's live action soft reboot. Kind of. All right, let's move on. We got a lot of gaming news to cover because we had a pretty big television event or technology television event that happened this past week. Loki, the Game Awards.
Yes,
the so
Game
you turned
Awards.
Off your stream and you started watching the Game Awards a little bit.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
I did, because I was disappointing all zero watchers of my stream. I'm humble bragging, though.
Yeah, here you go.
I got a whole zero.
There you go.
That's way, you know, anyways. I did watch the Game Awards a little bit. So they had lots of announcements, as they always do. It's, you know, most of the reason you tune in is probably just to see all the trailers and stuff that they're going to show. So let's just kind of run down some of the things that they announced. So they had a game called Sayonara Wild Hearts, which was coming to the Switch. And looked pretty awesome. That was the one that you were talking about that's sort of like an album by Annapurna Interactive. And it's
which
like
looked
this,
great.
Like music game. It almost looks a little bit like Elite Beat Agents sort of.
Like, I hope. Styling. Let's not get our hopes up for something that amazing.
But no, it looked pretty sweet. So very stylized, kind of a music game, a little bit punk. So that was pretty neat. And then, of course, there was a brand new game called Journey to the Savage Planet, which looked like some sort of survival game. I didn't really get. I missed this trailer, unfortunately. So that's supposed to be coming out next year on all major platforms. And then, of course, they announced the console version of the Stanley Parable. The Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, which is also going to have new endings and different branching paths and gamepad controls.
I think that's great and all, but it does feel a little late. Like, this is the type of thing they really should have put out 1 or 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, is Switch one of the consoles? It's never too late to do a Switch port.
I don't remember if the Switch is one of the consoles.
Everybody wants their game on Switch at this point.
It would be neat if they patched that stuff into the PC game, too, because I had to go back and play it to get that achievement for not playing it for 5 years. So I think that's due in the next few days for me.
Well, and I think that also just goes to show that, like, okay, that game's been out a while, so it is a little weird that it took this long to go to consoles, but a good game is a good game no matter what. You know, people are mega hyped. Maybe, perhaps, the gentleman who's on before us at the Voice Geek Center,
Bobby
Blackwolf.
I was hoping it would have been a sequel to the Stanley Parable.
Is one of the people that gets really hyped about Katamari Damacy getting re-released this week. So, you know what? Old games can still be fun.
But I'm hyped for the PC version, which will eventually get hacked to put all sorts of fun stuff in there. That's what I'm hyped about.
Ooh, mission, roll up all the dildos.
That's a good call. Which one do you... Do you buy the PC one because you know modding's coming? Or do you get the Switch one for the portability?
You buy both because the PC version, there was a site that had it for $10 cheaper, so I got it for $18.
Look at you.
Versus $29.99, because that's way too fucking much for, you know, buying it twice.
You buy both so that Namco will continue to invest in the series and hopefully make another one at some point.
Yeah, but they really half-assed put that remaster.
They put it out the same day as kind of another big deal sort of game. I mean, that's one issue. That's fine. I mean, it happens.
Physical version is only available at GameStop,
I know. If that's limited, it's just like, I really hope they aren't expecting 110 billion sales of this, but I want that game to do well. Anyway.
There's a game called Among Trees. It looks pretty nice. So that's coming out Steam Early Access in 2019. And that's a survival sandbox game. This was kind of unexpected. A Switch exclusive game, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
Kind of looking forward to that.
That looks pretty awesome. I am definitely down with that. So that, I'm guessing, is coming out next year as well. I'm wondering if it's just a timed exclusive. I would assume it's timed exclusive, but or maybe the, you know, console version or Xbox One and PlayStation 4 is getting like a different type of game or a little bit more expanded game. We'll see. But that's coming out. And that's by Team Ninja as well. And Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo's publishing it. Well, that's why it's a Switch exclusive. Let's see. What else? Supergiant has a new game coming out called Hades. It looks pretty sweet, much like all their other games. So that'll be probably next year as well. Oh, actually, that's launching in the Epic Games Store, which we'll be talking more about later. So that's something at early access there. Far Cry New Dawn, which is launching February 15th for $40, and it's going to be a sequel to Far Cry 5 that's set kind of in this post-apocalyptic future. Apparently, that spoils the end of the game, I guess. I still haven't finished Far Cry 5. I don't know if I will, but it looks awesome. It's got, you know, saw blade guns, and it looks kind of like Rage. Rage 2, I should say. Scavengers, which is like a sci-fi co-op game. Let's see. They had Crash Team Racing, was kind of unexpected. So there's a new Crash Racing game coming. Dead by Daylight is getting a new chapter. So they've got a Chapter 10, The Darkness Among Us, which is coming out, I guess, this week. They have a new killer called The Legion, which, I don't know. That sounds like... I swear there was someone that had the name The Legion or something that was like a villain in something. And then there's a new special power called Feral Frenzy as well. Still haven't played that game. Probably won't. Monster Hunter, they're getting... Or there's a game called Dauntless that sort of looks like Monster Hunter. In fact, when I saw the trailer for it, that reminded me of Monster Hunter quite a bit. But it's coming to Switch and Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and even mobile next year. Let's see, what else? Game called The Last Campfire, which was by Hello Games. So that was kind of unexpected that that was going to be coming out. And they're calling it a Hello Games short, so I'm guessing it's not a very long game. The one that really caught my attention, though, of course, was The Outer Worlds, which is a game by Obsidian. And it looks fantastic. It's like a cross between Fallout New Vegas and Mass Effect and just Borderlands and all sorts of fucking awesome shit. And I actually watched some gameplay of this. I posted a link on Twitter earlier today, and it looks great. So I'm really looking forward to this. It's kind of something to satiate the appetite of people that were hoping for a new Fallout-type game and got disappointed Fallout 76. So, yes, definitely looking forward to that quite a bit. Other fun stuff. They talked about PUBG's new map, which is all wintry. There's a new gigantic survival MMO Atlas that's by the game or people that did Ark Survival Evolved. There was a thing about Wizards of the Coast and pushing Magic Arena with some esports thing. They made a teaser for Dragon Age 4, like very just like title cards.
Well, supposedly that game is a ways out, too.
I expect you have questions.
Yeah. I suppose that game is a long way out. So
yeah, it's all soulless twerking.
Yeah, it's very, very light teaser.
They had another trailer for Psychonauts 2. They showed off a Stranger Things game that was kind of looking a little bit 16-bit. I got to be honest, it looked kind
of
crap.
Well, that's kind of the gist of the mobile phone, Stranger Things. It's kind of like a retro style, and it's okay for a phone game, but it's not something I would spend a lot of money on.
It looked like kind of like garbage. I'm just not very interested in that. Mortal Kombat 11, so that's coming out in April.
So last week's rumors came to light, apparently. Yep. So that was one of the trailers. I will admit, I didn't really watch the Game Awards. I just forgot they were happening because they're like, hey, it's time to vote. And then it's a week later, the awards happen. And I always forget they're going to be on. And to be honest, all the trailers just show up right there on Twitter. Anyway, they get retweeted and, somebody's following it and cutting the trailers as it goes. They just all show up online right away. So I saw that trailer for Mortal Kombat 11, of course. And, I'm not super big on the violent. Like, it's almost, too much now, but, it looked, for what it is, it looked cool, but obviously you were seeing a lot of probably, pre-rendered stuff, but I imagine it's going to look, Mortal Kombat 10 or X or whatever, it looked great, so I have no reason to believe
it's
11.
Probably 10.
Well, here's the thing, they actually said, they did call it Mortal Kombat X, but they completely acknowledged it was a play on... but I think it's X because that series is extra when it comes to fighting games. It's very, very extra. So, 11 is going to be continuing that, rampantly violent stuff, clearly, through the trailer.
And then, of course, they announced that Persona 5's Joker is going to be the first DLC character for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So that got everybody excited because they're like, well, shit, now they're really putting anybody in this game, so... be curious to see what the other four fighters are going to be. Didn't pick up the game, though. Thought about it.
Yeah, you didn't pick up Smash? You're the one person that didn't.
Well, I just bought my kids, four Switch games for Christmas.
The money thing is real. I understand.
My wife an air fryer.
Yeah, I know.
And a robot vacuum cleaner.
Well, maybe somebody will buy that for you for Christmas. Maybe that'll be a nice thing.
And books and, all this other shit. So... I didn't pick it up because I didn't know if I'd get to play it. I didn't want to fight the kids for the Switch, and I know they'd play it, but I don't know.
We can get into a little more of that on our gaming week, but going back a little bit to the Game Awards itself, obviously the Persona Smash thing is it's
pretty cool.
It's cool, but I'm certainly but they haven't put Persona on a Nintendo platform.
There was a 3DS game.
Oh, God. That seems so obscure. I guess you're right, but that just seems like... You would think, this is going to motivate them to put Persona 5
Master
on Switch.
Master Chief.
Or something, you would think. I don't know. But, you think Master Chief in Smash? That's going a little far. I don't know about that, but... okay. I mean, I think it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's just,
you know what? No, no, not Master Chief. We'll just put Terry Crews in Smash. Just Terry Crews.
Just Terry Crews. Why not one of the Viva Pinata? There was a 3DS game for Viva Pinata.
Fuck Viva Pinata.
Or Minecraft Steve. That would
I think Minecraft Steve
would be way more likely than Master Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would be the big Microsoft, like, oh my God, but there's a ton of people that play Minecraft on Switch, and, you know.
Or is there, like, because PUBG doesn't really have any characters.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't.
Or not PUBG, Fortnite.
They could, but I think we're going a little crazy with the Switch stuff now, or the Smash stuff now. I think it's just, you know, I mean, now it's like, I think what's happened is that, wait, if they can put a Persona character in Smash, they can do literally anything. So now all of these, like, fan wank obscure, because nobody was going to predict that Persona thing. Nobody was going to predict that. But so now it's like literally everything is on the table. So as much as you might be laughing at, like, come on, they're not going to put Minecraft. But they did Persona. They could, anything is possible, y'all.
Super Meat Boy.
Why not? That'd be fun.
Shovel Knight was in the first game, right?
No, there was always a Shovel Knight amiibo, and I think there was Shovel Knight assist, but Shovel Knight was not a character, and a lot of people were pushing for indie representation in Smash, like Shovel Knight, Shantae. Remember, there was a big campaign about that. None of that has come to light as of yet. But again, anything's possible.
They should just add a lot more characters in 5.
I'm sure. There'll be more. There'll be more. Anyway, so you actually, admittedly, I didn't really watch the Game Awards. I don't think Jamie did either. What did you think of the bits and pieces of the actual show that you saw? Because I remember the last time I did see it,
The orchestra stuff was really awesome.
Honestly, the last time I watched it, it was like, you could do a lot worse. It really wasn't bad.
It's kind of like picking up the excitement for where, like, E3 may have lacked in some places, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it was... It was nice to have all that stuff there and all the announcements and everything.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf does point out Joker is in Persona Q2 for the 3DS, so he is in a Nintendo game. It's pretty pretty deep cut. Bobby also suggests the Fortnite Battle Bus in Smash. There is some type of car. I didn't know what it was, but we were Friday night, some friends and I got together and we were playing a little bit of Smash. Somebody got a freaking thing that looked like a pedo bus, showed up and started driving around the stage, and I was like, what the fuck even is that? I was like, what's the reference? Like, I'm trying to catch all these deep cut gaming references. There's some deep cut gaming references in
Nintendo
Smash.
Labo.
That's my favorite part. Let's see. Act Deft in chat does point out Shovel Knight is an assist trophy and Shantae is a spirit. So they did at least do some type of nods to those games.
I mean, I don't know.
It's something. So, and Bobby also points out there is a Labo thing in Smash. Of course there is. Of course there is. Nintendo will stop at nothing to self-promote, I'm very sure. It's Cap'n. Oh, it is. Act Deft says Cap'n from Animal Crossing has a bus in Smash as an assist. You know, his spirit stage, I just had to play that today. I can't fucking beat it. It is so annoying. Do you know, his spirit stage has a constant wind effect on it. And if you touch the water, pretty much you die. Your character drowns, with some exceptions.
The water is lava.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. And so I know somebody in chat's about to yell this. I already know. If you attach the Snorlax spirit, which is a little further down the road, you can avoid the wind thing. It doesn't push you back as bad, but it still pushes you. And then you get, God damn it, what's that big orange bird in Yoshi? But you get her up the road too, and that completely negates the water thing. So you can actually be in the water. So it helps.
And I heard
there's
some characters that don't drown in the water.
Right, well, it's if you have those certain spirit affections, you won't. So, but here's the thing. Those attachments will not suggest. Like, I was just letting the computer suggest what to use every time, but it was not picking those for me on a stage where I needed it. It kept giving me stuff where, like, I start with a dark scythe and things like that. And then the other thing, excuse me, you kind of have to watch for is that not only do you have the World of Light mode, but you have that other mode that will just randomly spawn, like, 6 different, and then it starts to grow. Like different spirit things you can challenge at any time, and they rotate out every 5 minutes. Like, don't forget about that, because if you dip in there every now and then, you can grab some stuff that you can then use in the World of Light mode. So there's that. Anyway, So look at that. We're supposed to be having a conversation on the Game Awards, and it all ended up on Smash. That's what it's going to be this week. I'm pretty sure any gaming show you're listening to this week is just going to lose their shit over Smash, and that's just how it is in the gaming industry this week, I suppose. So
yeah.
Anything that you saw in the Game Award things and those trailers, anything that really stuck out to you? I know you called out a couple of those things that looked interesting to you, but what would you say out of all that? That they showed, are you really looking forward to, Loki?
You know, actually, the new Far Cry game, although I wonder if I'm actually going to play it, because it's like I seem to buy these Far Cry games and I get tired of them really fast. But Far Cry, the new one, looks pretty good, so I'm interested in that. And then also, of course, the Outer Worlds looks awesome. Like, I would definitely pick that up. Just the world and everything seems really cool. It's very much like Fallout New Vegas. Like, the vibe is just like, this is totally how we should. And what's great is, like, they have dialogue trees like you would like in the other games, and you can pick a dumb dialogue tree so that you it's like you're an idiot, and it's hilarious. Just this response is like like, not everybody is I forget, like, just go watch the clip they posted online, because it's hilarious. Just like the different dialogue trees that they have there, and like picking the dumb option each time is, it's just like the sarcastic option that they had in Fallout 4 or whatever. I forget what it was, but like, it looks awesome. I really want to play that game.
All right, cool. So any suggestions for next year's Game Awards? Because I noticed in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Kaijudo says, Game Awards were good, just chill with all the trailers.
No, I mean, I think it was fine the way it was. I guess we'll just have to, you know, see, like, some of the, like, the words are really quick, like, you know, and some of, like, I don't know if we necessarily need, like, best esport personality or best, like, YouTuber or whatever. I think that's kind of, like, I don't think needs to be there, but it is.
All right.
I mean, trying to give
a nod to the community. Well, and as far as, like, honestly, one of the few things I did see from the whole event was when Sonic Fox won that award for the best esports personality, and he gave a great speech that, like, you know, I couldn't help but sit there and just go, yes, you know, like, I just thought he was awesome. So, and on one hand, Loki, as much as I understand that maybe, like, we don't need the personalities as much in the game thing, I was like, that really was kind of one of the best moments, at least for me.
I'm just glad Ninja didn't win it. Because, like, I'm just...
He's overexposed. It's overexposed. He's overexposed. Same thing with PewDiePie. Like, Well, and PewDiePie has his own issues.
PewDiePie's not so bad anymore. He's kind of a little bit, like, he's not in the forefront as much.
Maybe he's
anymore.
Listened to some of the feedback he's gotten about some of his poor decisions, I would assume.
I don't know. So, yeah. But, like...
SSG100 Matt says Ninja won, though, so he must not have seen that part. Ninja's not an esports guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he didn't win the esports thing. He did win, like, best... Yeah.
Best Fortnite player. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. And Tiger Claw says he only got famous because of the whole Drake thing. Well, you know what?
Whatever. Do what you got to do.
I know. You know what? Do what you got to do. I'm not gonna hate Ninja. I don't know the guy. I don't watch his stuff. But I do think some people are just, like, overexposed, and it doesn't make it's, you know, you can't help but go, again. It's like there's certain celebrities, right? You see him in a trailer, and you're like, again. Tom Cruise still making movies. You know, those types of things. I don't know. I can't explain it. But anyway. SS200 Matt in chat says he won content provider, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Like, whatever. You know, it's fine. I don't have to like these people. It's fine. And I don't even know who he is. Or, like, I don't even watch his content. So I don't know why I would not like him in the first place. It's just... Just, like, the stories I read, like, I guess, where it's talking about, like, how he goes and, like, tries to ban different players off of Fortnite for... He claims that they're stream sniping him, but they just may best him somehow. And so then he'll go and get them, like, permabanned from playing Fortnite. That seems a little dickish, and that I guess, that is the impression that I have of him. But I don't know. Do I fucking care? No, I don't.
All right. Well, let's see, going to our chat at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwell says, I'm fine with Ninja. I've seen some of the interviews he's given outside of our gaming realm, and he's pretty much the face we need right now. He says all the right things to the right people in the right language, like his CNBC or MSNBC interview right after the Drake thing. Akuma JP says, I dislike Ninja character, though, the way he looked down to other people. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on from the Game Awards. Yeah.
I need to thank Akuma JP, by the way.
Oh, me too.
Because Dan super loved his present.
Oh, yeah, because you haven't been here for a little bit. So Dan had a birthday while you were out, mm-hmm. and you had Akuma JP kind of help you with some shenanigans, right?
So Dan's birthday present this year was Red Dead Redemption 2 Special Edition, the Gunstar Heroes Treasure Box for PS2, and Salamander Deluxe Pack for Sega Saturn, thanks to Akuma JP. And Dan was absolutely thrilled. So thank you for helping me make my husband's birthday a success.
Well, why don't we transition from that into our gaming weeks? Because after all, this is the part of the show where we talk about the types of video games we've been playing this week. So I imagine maybe some playing of that around the Summers household.
Well, of course, there's been a lot of Red Dead Redemption 2. We also picked up, well, I braved the crowds, picked up Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, and it's been really fun. Dan's actually been tackling the unlocking while I've been at work. And we got a new pinball. We got Monopoly, Stern's Monopoly, and apparently it was a home use only machine. It hasn't touched an arcade. It is in glorious condition. Just need a little bit of cleanup. And, that's really been the major gaming that's been happening in my house.
Cool.
All right, then we'll move right on over to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I played a few things this week, so I've gotten to the point now in Pokemon Let's Go. I think I am basically done with the game. I finished the game. I beat all the final four or whatever with my uber leveled Pikachu that basically just single-handedly took down the whole Final Four, or Elite Four, or whatever. And then I beat them again. And then I guess you can go back and fight, like, refight the other gyms as well if you want to. Now you've got to the point where you have to fight the different Pokemon Masters. They're Masters of, like, Pikachu and all these other, like, things. So you have to have basically the same Pokemon as them, and you fight them. And it's a hassle. I don't want to do it. So I don't really know if I think I'm kind of done with the game at this point. My Pokédex isn't filled up all the way, but it could be if I just transport a few other things. In fact, I got to do that because I got to, unlock my stupid Meltan. So I have to keep putting new Pokémon into the Pokémon Go Park and do all that crap. So I'll probably still play it some. I've been occasionally swapping Pokemon out into the... and I caught Mewtwo. So I've caught everything in the game. All the, legendaries and stuff.
They make a vaccine for that, you know.
Yes. So I've caught all the legendaries in the game. And I don't know. I'm kind of getting, bored with it, I guess. But it's all right. It's an okay game. I don't really want to grind just to, beat all of the Pokemon Masters, because why? I don't know. There's not really any more story left in the game.
Like, once you've got the Go Park and you're getting your Meltan boxes, it's kind of like, there's not... Except just the incentive of, I beat a fucking Pokemon game.
Yeah,
that does feel pretty good.
I beat a Pokemon game. I mean, it was good. I mean, I like the story of it and everything, and I would like to, play through more of them and stuff, but I just... I don't know if I really want to play, the end game that they have here. There's not really... Maybe, they'll add stuff to it later on, but right now, it's there's not a whole lot of incentive for me to... Let's go capture a ton of Pokemon so we can get some candies to level up, a stupid Oddish so that I can become the Oddish Master, and who gives a shit about that? No one does. So, I don't know. Or, try to chain catch 31 of these things and just keep trying to catch the same Pokemon until we find a shiny... Not doesn't really sound like my sort of fun.
Shane would be into that.
I just don't want to do it right now. I have more, I have other games I could be playing. Red Dead Redemption 2 or I could. There's so many games.
Poop.
Huh?
The horses poop.
Yeah. Horses do poop.
I mean, in the game, I thought it was cool.
Yes, there is.
And then their balls shrink.
Yes. And then what else? So I was at the store this week, and so I got to try out one of those arcade one-up arcade cabinets. So I played some Missile Command and Crystal Castles. And, you know, really I hate trackballs, but trackball controls work pretty good on those games. So I'm not complaining there. It's a pretty good use case right there. So I tried those out. And then what else? I did more Pokemon Go. I played some of that. Gosh, I don't know. Dance Dance Revolution Euromix 2, as I mentioned. I've been playing that this week. I've been kind of swapping through some of the different mixes I can put on the cabinet. I'm kind of getting tired of all of them. I'm really leaning towards a Stepmania cabinet because it's going to be, you know, a lot easier to add new songs to it to keep everything fresh and interesting, because it's hard, like, playing, like, the same old songs once again. I thought Euromix 2 would be more of a draw because not a lot of people have seen a Euromix 2 machine in action. I know, certainly I haven't, so...
I imagine a lot of people in Europe have.
Well, yes, in Europe, yeah, they probably
this
have.
This is a worldwide show.
They had to deal with some bullshit that really they shouldn't have had to deal with. I mean...
And now you feel so... we have to go back. Remember, we talk a lot about DDR on this show.
There's, like,
Loki's having his renaissance, his midlife crisis with DDR, because this was the stuff that we... This Orange Lounge Radio is here because of DDR.
Well,
Orange Lounge is
like,
a band in DDR,
there's
okay?
Shit I completely forgot about. Like, did you know DDR Max had no difficulties in it? Like, I didn't, like, completely forgot about that. I'm like, what? There was no difficulties on there? Like, they had no, like, indicator of what song was difficult or what?
Oh, yeah, because it was just that little chart. They never had the feet. Like, it was just that little chart.
Like, I completely forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
How did we know that this was this difficult? Did we just make that shit up?
Because when Max 2 came out, everything kind of got retconned.
Well, maybe the home versions also.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That shit, but, like, I just completely forgot. And also, my copy of... Because I'm using a super disc. I obviously don't have a legit Euromix 2 in my system, but it doesn't have any of the background videos, which is fine. I mean, it's kind of actually makes it easier to play certain things. Also, it seems like they half-assed half of the steps in the game, because half of the steps that are in there for their new licensed songs don't have freeze arrows. They just don't
good.
Have them.
Not, I'll actually play it.
Not good. They should have that shit in there.
You can always turn them off if you don't like them.
Right, exactly. But, like, there's only one song that I ran across that actually had it. And it's funny, when you do run across a song that does have it, it gives you the freeze arrow warning thing, tells you what they are and stuff, which is it's so weird. So they had that. And then what else? So I'll probably switch it up again. I may end up doing – I think I might move to Disney's Rave or Fifth Mix, maybe.
Fifth Mix will be fun.
Yeah,
but Disney's Rave I think would be fun for a day, and
yeah,
you're gonna be like,
day.
Why did I do that? I still do want to come over. It's gonna get a little crazy now because this week, obviously, with the changes around here, I gotta make sure we're set and ready to go for that. Next week, I don't want to say too much about it on air because I don't know if I'm doing it yet, but I might go on the most random freaking trip in the middle of the week if I can swing the time.
You're
off
going
work.
To Albuquerque.
I'll tell you in chat. I don't want to say until I know I'm going because it is literally a random fucking thing. But soon. I'm hoping to come over and
play.
Well,
right, and it's great because you can install new mixes in about 15 minutes, so it's not a big deal. That's why I was like, I'm taking off 4th Plus here. Which, I mean, ideally 4th Plus is a great mix. It's just, I don't know. I miss having all those modifies in there because some of those 4th Mix step charts are just some weird shit, and you really need to have like that spacing in there to be able to read it, and I need to get better at just reading charts. It's just really hard. But so, yeah. So that's what I've been doing. Now this week I've Katamari. So I'll probably be playing some more Katamari. I also did not buy Earth Defense Force 5 because reviews have been kind of okay on that. But and I'll probably wait for a sale on that. I don't know. We'll see. So... I don't know. I could be playing some more new songs, but I'm waiting because... Or new games, but... I had to play the old games, too. Oh, and Just Cause 4. I need to pick up Just Cause 4. So many things. Anyways, that's it.
All right, well, let me talk about my gaming week a little bit. So I've been playing a lot of Smash, just like I'm sure a ton of people have. I really am enjoying this Smash game. It's probably my favorite so far, but it's easy to say that because I don't get into all the technicalities like some tournament players do and all that. All I go is that it's pretty and there's a lot of people and there's so many modes and this is the best one yet. And honestly, I think that's good enough in some ways. So I'm having a good time playing it. The unlocking thing is a little weird. It's a little weird how you only start with 8 people. And so, like, when I took my Switch over to a house party thing Friday night, because we played some card games. I know I don't talk a lot about card games on this show, but I played an old school card game called Phase 10. I'm sure that's like the same people who do Uno.
I sort of remember Phase 10. Yeah.
And then we played that, and then we played a game called Saboteur, which is like you're using cards to build caves, and like somebody's lying about it. So, and these are all people that I met playing these online, like Survivor, Big Brother games. So they're all great liars because that's, you know, what you do in those games.
Black hole. Phase 10 destroys friendships.
Yeah. So we played friend destroying games, and then we played Smash Brothers a little bit too. But it was weird because it was like, okay, guys, I have the basic 8 characters and Ness. That's it. Like, I don't have any other characters so far. So we kind of, but the good news is, I mean, we were able to unlock some, but the funniest fucking thing happened. So one of my pals, Curtis, he only wants to play Pit. Like, that's like his favorite character, right? He only wants to play. So the fact that Pit's not in the game, he's like, whatever, I don't care. Well, Pit shows up. So we're playing for like 20 minutes and Pit shows up. A new challenger approaches. Woo, woo, woo. And so one of my friends hands me the controller and says, you need to do it, Rob, because I'm going to fuck this up. And I was like, okay. So I take the controller and it goes match start. And I just start moving to the left and I fall right off the cliff and die. Because I forgot that she was playing player one and I was playing like player four. So I didn't want to go to the left because that is going to walk right off the edge. So anyway, and Curtis is watching me. And of course, he's already had a bit to drink. We're already hyped up because we've been playing Saboteur. We've been yelling at each other all night. And he's like, you did that on purpose. You bleeping did that on purpose. You blah, blah, blah. He's like trying to. So it was really funny. But I didn't realize this until later. It was my pal, Delvin, who does his streaming at VG Realness. Cheap plug. But he actually told me that if you go into the blue menu, the games and more menu, there's actually an icon that'll appear there. It looks like a little door. It lets you redo any of the fights. So I found that out like after I got home Friday night, and then I was able to unlock Pit easy. So that tip saved my life. So if you didn't already know about that, that you can re-challenge anybody in that blue games and more menu with a little door icon, you can. And if you lose to them again, it's okay. The door icon goes away, but it'll come back after like 10 or 15 minutes. So, and I know tons of people are cheesing it with the unlocks. That's just not how I'm going to do it. It's fine. I've already unlocked like 25 people just the normal way. I just got Simon before the show tonight.
I do want to play the game. I think it'll be fun. It's just, I don't know. Maybe after I get paid.
I feel like at some point there's going to be like a code that'll just unlock everything. Like an up, up, down, down, left, right type of code that'll just unlock everything. Because it is weird that, like, you know, people are going to have tournaments, and it's like either somebody has to loan their copy of Smash Brothers, or what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to unlock everything for a tournament right away. So I feel like they're going to put out a code at some point to let people do
it. It could also be something they patch into the game later on, too.
It might
because
be.
Obviously, if there's a code, someone's going to find it.
It is weird, too, that there's just the whole double unlock thing. You know what I mean? Because, and I say that because not only do you unlock in the regular Smash mode, but then you have your World of Light, which is the single-player mode, and you only get Kirby in that mode to start. That's it. You have Kirby and nobody but Kirby, which if you're ACT-DEFT is not a problem. And
right,
it forced me to learn to play Kirby, who actually now, I will say this.
Is like the best character in the game.
I've always been like a Ness guy, a Pit guy, but now I'm like, okay. Well, thanks to World of Light, I kind of had to fucking teach myself how to play Kirby. I'm cheap as fuck, just doing that up B move all the time.
Right?
The slice thing. But hey, you know what, y'all?
Or sucking on Link for a
bit.
It
fucking... Hey-o. It works.
Phrasing?
We're phrasing. works.
On purpose.
So, anyway. ACT-DEFT in chat says, tier list be damned. You know what? I'm going to co-sign with that because honestly, my favorite character in Wii U Smash was Pac-Man. And he's always on like the trash tier. I don't give a fuck about your tier list. I want to play Pac-Man. He's fun. Done. Some of the stages, by the way, are so good. Like, have you looked at some of the stages in this new Smash? Like, I guess it brings back stuff from the 3DS and all the other games, but there's so I love the retro stuff reimagined. they do such a good job with, like, there's one that's just straight up like a remake of World 1-1 from Super Mario Brothers, and
like
the whole
one.
Level scrolls as you play it. I think that was in an older game. I know the Picto Chat one was in an older game. Those are still fun to play, but like they've just got some crazy.
They need to update the Picto Chat one with all penis drawings.
I don't think they're gonna do that. They're not going
to
do
no,
that.
No, no, they totally need to do is
Bobby Blackwell said there are peni in the Picto Chat stage. I don't know if he's making it up, but
no
he says already there.
What they need to do, actually, instead of Picto Chat, is they need to do, what was the other one that was for cat pictures that was together?
Swap note.
Yeah, they need to do a swap note stage with all cat pictures.
Yes. Oh, my God. Anyway. So I'm loving Smash, and you know what? I'm going to play more of it. And honestly, that is pretty much all I played this weekend, those card games and Smash. And then the rest of my week, I played a little bit of WoW, a little bit of Final Fantasy. I'm still juggling two MMOs. I don't know how I do it. Did you know, Darksakura? I have a 120 Alliance and a 120 Horde. And like my Alliance, thanks to Delvin, I've been working. Like, he's been pity running me through some mythics, and I've got some decent gear.
Well, clearly works. Those are clouds, Bobby. I mean,
I'll play.
Either that or that's one jagged penis.
All right. Anyway, Bobby's linking in chat pictures of things that may or may not be a penis in Picto Chat.
They look like noses shooting lightning.
Time to penis.
All right. Anyway, that's it for my gaming week. So housekeeping. So we're not taking any shows off for the holidays. We're still going to be here over the next few weeks. So as I mentioned earlier, and as I've been saying ad nauseum the past couple weeks, next week, fingers and toes crossed, I'm not definitively saying it will happen. You'll see a go or no go on Twitter around Friday.
I may not be here on the 30th.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Lucky. All right.
It's important. I'm visiting my dad before he moves to Texas for good.
Oh,
so.
Shit. All right. It's kind of. So, all right. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, then if Jamie can't be here, there may not be a show that night, or we're going to have to do it in advance.
We'll see what happens.
That's fine, too. But anyway, well, that's even more the reason why I really hope this week.
We'll see. We're doing it early in the day, so
okay. I don't want to keep you from family stuff. None of us do.
Right.
So yeah, you go to spend time with dad. So anyway, next week, hopefully, assuming everything on the tech side is ready to go, we still have Shoutcast set up as a fallback, and we may use it, but we will be doing our first show live on Twitch on Sunday night.
We're gonna do video and everything.
It's gonna do video and everything.
Yeah.
Don't expect the world.
Yeah, the world. I'm expecting it.
Does that mean I'm gonna have to start breaking out the wig of the week?
Yeah.
You don't need to break out the wig. You look fabulous. You don't need a wig.
Thank you, girl. Yes, she does look fabulous.
But I want to wear wigs.
You can wear wigs. You can wear whatever the hell you want.
You express the best idea I heard for you, and I don't even remember if you were there, if this was something I was talking about online with somebody, but the best idea I heard from you for how to do you if you are feeling a little camera shy, which you have every right to be online because men are trash, but you look great, and I think all of our listeners that we've built up over the years, as well as myself, as well as Loki, we would fight anyone that tried to come for you. You know that.
Giant hats?
But I'd cut a bitch, too.
Well, I loved your Sia idea.
Yeah. So that was where the wig thing came from.
Yeah, I love that
but
idea.
I've ordered like all these wigs on Wish, and actually I got a duplicate of the one with the stupid navy blue roots.
I honestly thought she said wigs on wigs.
I could do that.
Wigs.com for all your wig needs.
Anyway.
I was just thinking wigs.com.
The secret to a successful OLR, wig water. Anyway, but here's the thing, Darksakura. My favorite idea was that you would be just off to the side, and you would have a special hand on, so you would look like Dr. Claw. Off to the side. That was my favorite.
I need Miss Smooshy here to pet.
How to handle Jamie if she's camera shy is to do the Dr. Claw thing. How about that? Can we set that up?
We'll see.
All right. going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bonds006 says, so start a GoFundMe for your wigs. Tiger Claw on chat says,
Do that if people would pay.
You guys are going to have to wear a lot of makeup while you're at it. You got to look to your best. Okay.
There's no amount of makeup that's going to help me.
You're lucky I'm going to put on pants.
I cut my hair and shaved today so that even though the camera's not here.
Yeah, I know. Like, honest to God, no. Look, I understand that makeup when you do certain things is important, but for the purposes of OLR, you are lucky if I wear pants.
I'll wear enough makeup for everyone.
All right.
I'm going to be all up in that drag. But seriously, though, like, I'm not, like, as camera shy as I used to be. I was really kind of self-conscious for a bit. But I don't mind now as long as I'm not, like, you know, about to do the sneeze Face.
Well, the good news is I think you're in a lot of good company over on Twitch, too. There's a lot of women. There's a lot of, you know, different types, different sizes, different colors. There's a lot of just wonderful people on Twitch streaming that have normalized it, I think, a lot more, that it's not just white bros doing streaming on Twitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's the good news is there is a more diverse
community.
I know,
I am pretty white.
Well,
I like mayonnaise.
Hey, look. There's just because somebody says diversity doesn't mean they're saying get rid of everybody else.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm also wearing, though, like my new shirt for today.
Are we going to do a tacky sweater episode? Oh, you're not going to be here the rest of the month.
It's not tacky.
But
it's my Dobutsu no Mori GameCube shirt.
I will wear December 23rd, I think, is a show night. Let's do a tacky Christmas sweater night for Twitch.
I don't have a tacky Christmas sweater.
I won't borrow one from Alan then. I refuse to wear anything related to Christmas.
All right. What do you guys think? Tacky Christmas?
If they mark down the Hanukkah sweaters at Target, I'll buy one. Hanukkah's like ending after tonight.
Do they sell a Tingle sweater? Because I'll wear
Oh my God, perfect.
You know what?
All right.
Let me internet this.
Anyway. VOG Network is our Twitch channel. Please go ahead and go over there, subscribe, and catch Bobby Blackwolf. We'll also be making the transition with us pretty soon. I don't know if they're doing it the first week, but pretty soon after, in the next couple of weeks, Anime Jam Session will also be joining on the Twitch bandwagon. So that's really exciting. And you can stay tuned to all of that over at VOG Network. We'll either be hosting Who's Live, or, you know, we're still going to be a network of promoting each other and helping each other and just getting more voices out there. So that is that's what the plan is to do.
I want to add something in relation to Ranma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super proud that you're using the Hebrew hammer as your Facebook cover picture.
Bobby Blackwolf says, I have an ugly sweater that's gaming related. I can wear that on the 23rd. There you go. So Bobby's in for ugly sweater night. I'm with it. Dungeon Buster in chat says, Cats on My Head is a streamer speedrunner that wears a cat thing on her head. So you would not be the first to do the...
But not a real cat thing. Because, I mean, I'm a little bit let down if that's your name and you don't have a real cat on your head.
The only way we're going to get people to tune in on Twitch is for me to promise that Mr. Smush might show up.
He will.
Loki, let's be real. They don't give a shit about you or me. They don't really care what Jamie looks like at the end of the day. They only want to see the cat. That's what it is.
Show us your
this
pussy.
This is the internet, so.
Your loud, screamy pussy.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get into some news, the news of the week. There's a lot going on, including a follow-up to last week, sort of, right, Loki?
Yeah, so the whole trash bags.
Should I cue up the Benny Hill theme?
No.
Maybe the shade sound.
So as we talked about the Fallout 76 Collector's Edition that they did, the $200 one. So unfortunately, they had sent out originally these nylon bags that were just garbage. And people were pissed off because not only did they not get what they were promised, then Bethesda said, oh, hey, we'll give you $5 in in-game crap currency. And then also, we're also going to actually have these these canvas backpacks that we'll give out to our influencers instead, and even though you did pay $200. Well, they decided, hey, we are actually going to send out replacements, so, you know, please go to our website and file a ticket to get a replacement bag sent to us. And we were like, oh, finally, they're doing something right. Thank God they're actually, you know, not Bethesda-ing this up. And then they Bethesda the crap out of it by their Bethesda support page leaking Fallout 76 customer names, addresses, and phone numbers. So what was happening is people were logging into their support ticket and they could view everybody's support ticket because that's how websites work. So apparently there was an issue where they were able to see other people's information. Including, you know, their purchase information, whatever they've scanned and uploaded into it, screenshots, names, addresses, and whatnot. Bethesda said, that, of course, that they had fixed the issue. They basically said, hey guys, we resolved the issue. No apologies or anything, but they resolved the issue. But they still fucked that up, too, because, of course, they did.
If I am a lawyer right now that has Bethesda in my sights, I am having the best holiday season.
By the way, since we didn't really, this didn't make our show roll, but I had saw a video about it today. So you know how the last week you talked about how, hey, we're going to fix some of these problems that, you know, you guys have, and we're going to patch the game to make it better so that, you know, you guys can enjoy it and it's not so buggy and shitty and stuff like that. So guess what came along with that very first patch that they put out? So the very first patch that they were doing is one of the things they were trying to fix was this zero health glitch or whatever, where people basically be indestructible and you couldn't kill them. So you would have to basically restart the game if you encountered that, because basically the health would come back and they would just be a bullet sponge. Well, they didn't fix that, and they also patched in stuff to rebalance the game to make it even grindier. So they reduced the amount of the different power cells that they have in there. They reduced the amount that those lasted, and they also made it harder to harvest that stuff, among other things. So while patching the game to fix some of these bugs, they're also patching it to make it more grindy so that you want to use their in-game money to speed the game up. Fuck this company. I mean, seriously. Just
how about
ridiculous.
They go eat a pile of dicks?
I just... like, I can't. Like, I can't.
It's garbage. Like, I'm not even touching this hot garbage at all.
That's it. Any I didn't really have a lot of interest in Fallout 76 to begin with, but now, like, my interest for, like, is at a negative one. Like, my interest is down in the basement. I feel bad for Fallout fans. I really do. But at the same time, I'm going to do a special message, and Jamie, maybe you can join me in this. A special message from me, a Mass Effect fan who survived Andromeda, to you, a Fallout fan who will survive Fallout 76. It'll be okay.
I got to tell you this much. I watched that new – they had a new Anthem trailer that was during the Game Awards. I don't fucking care about the game at all now. I mean, I didn't care about it much to begin with, but I just, like, this is fucking Destiny. I don't want to play this.
So you know they had, like, a super secret beta over the weekend, right? I'm not in it, but I'm pretty connected. I know people that are.
It's not very secret if we know about it.
Okay. There's an NDA. That's why people aren't talking about it. And, like, I don't know if you heard, but, like, EA's taking it very seriously. Like, somebody streamed it, and they freaking banned the guy from Origin or something like that. Like, they're taking it very seriously. So not a lot getting out there about what's going on. But should I say it? Should I say
it?
Because I have some tea. You ready for some tea?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you where I'm getting this. Hold on. I'm looking. Because where was it? Okay. Here's my review of Anthem Alpha. I'm sad we aren't ever going to get that Dragon Age game they teased because BioWare won't be around.
Ooh, girl.
That was a text message I got earlier today, but I ain't telling you from who.
That's sad.
Yeah.
But, hey, Outer Worlds, it looks like that's going to be a game that's by the original Fallout people. So, you know, when Fallout was good. So maybe there's hope. Maybe Fallout's not going to be necessarily your game, but it'll live on in a spiritual successor, you know. So.
All right. Anyway, let's move on.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase "child."
Going to the next. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, it could be just dramatic. I mean, people being dramatic on the internet, hyperbole.
No, seriously though, if it doesn't end up being like a runaway success, I think that EA will close them down, and that's just because that's their MO.
I think. Yeah, I think as much as you know, there is over the topness and extraness sometimes. And, you know, again, that is one review and it's an early build. So I think that's a fair thing to just acknowledge. OK, don't make your final decisions off of an anonymous message I just read. Bobby Buckle says Rob's friends being dramatic. Tiger Claw in chat says, you know, will Anthem be the downfall of BioWare? Let's hope not, because I would like to see that Dragon Age game and I would like to see a Mass Effect game. But I do think there is a lot of money being invested in this and there's a lot riding on this game. I don't think BioWare or EA can afford to make the same mistakes they made with Andromeda. So maybe that's part of the reason they're doing this, to get some of that now, because maybe, you know, maybe they'll end up delaying the game again if
Dragon
it is
Age,
a mess.
At least, I don't think the last one, I think the Dragon Age games have been pretty good so far. I need to
sure.
go. I need to go back and play the last one. I have the last one.
Inquisition was great.
Yeah, I mean, And so the new Dragon Age sounds cool, but like, and you know what sucks is it's like, it's not, I don't necessarily blame them. And that's unfortunate though. It's the bad decisions by higher ups end up when the game does poorly because of their shitty decisions. And it's the small, the dev teams actually take the brunt of it. It's annoying, but that's just EA's fucking MO, unfortunately. Well, we've lost many great studios because of stupid EA. So what are you going to do? Those talented people will find homes elsewhere, and unfortunately, and you will get spiritually, you know, successor games, you know, much like this new one. I mean, this, I don't know.
All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about Doom. Doom is did you know Doom turned 25? Doom is now 25 years old. That is, yeah, and that makes me feel old because I remember when Doom first came to you. I remember calling BBSs to play Doom 2 multiplayer. There was a BBS.
Remember, I could never get Doom to run on my PC because I only had 4 megs of RAM. And even though you needed 4 megs of RAM to run it, you could never allocate quite enough using your config sys file. And
I had Doom in black and white for Mac Classic.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even know they made a black and white version. That's rad.
Yeah.
There were some great black and white Mac games back in the day. My favorite was always, was it Crystal Quest? The one that you moved the little, because they did it on 360. They did like an arcade version of it.
I think so.
I like that. And there was one called, I think, The Dark Castle.
I also had Tetris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Tetris. Anyway. But anyway, this isn't about just Mac games because Doom was huge on PC as well. December 10th. So the actual anniversary is tomorrow, which honestly will be the day most people listen to this on the podcast. Anyway, that's the day it turns 25 years old on December 10th. John Romero will be hopefully revealing something new that day. Romero Games is going to announce pre-orders for a project that John Romero just completed. That was an email that went out from Romero Games. You can follow it on his Twitter at The Romero, where there are some hints. Some people are thinking it could be Black Room is the project that he's been working on. So I'm assuming we would see a little bit more about that tomorrow. So there you go. But I'm wondering, you know, obviously we don't know what this project is. We weren't not going to know till tomorrow, so we can't speculate too much more. But I'm just curious, what do you think about Doom all these years later? Do you think Doom is an important game in gaming's history, or where do you think Doom kind of like stands for you?
Yeah,
with that?
Absolutely. It's an important game. I mean, it helped launch the whole FPS genre. I mean, that and Quake. I mean, it was one of the pillars of these modern games.
Yeah, I think a game like Overwatch owes a lot to something like Doom. I mean, sure, Overwatch draws from other places as well as Blizzard's own perspective. I'm not saying like they're just like ripoffs, but I think there's so much that, you know, certainly Doom really pushed forward. And especially, you know, remember the id Software was kind of really the king of those 3D games back in the day, and that movement from Wolfenstein, which was its own amazing, you know, game. But really, Wolfenstein was a 2D game in a 3D space, right? Yeah. Doom was a 3D game in a 3D space where you started to have the elevation. You had walls that weren't just square. You had maps that, you know, were in different shapes. Like, Doom really was, like, that pushed forward.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I remember it was a CompUSA. We had saw, like, Wolfenstein 3D being played on a PC and just, like, just a group of people around going like, holy crap, you know, this looks amazing. Back in the day when shareware, I fucking love shareware. It's great. You go to a store, you buy a Wolfenstein, you know, 3D disc for like $2 or like, you know, something dirt cheap. You know, I buy a ton of those.
Because you can only
discs.
Pay because they couldn't charge you for the shareware, but they could charge you for the disc. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think so. Like, they had copies of it, but it was great because, like, I pick up all these games, and if I liked them, cool. I could send my money away, you know, for, you know, the full game, or, you know, wait until the BBS had it, the pirate, you know, that type of stuff. But it was a great way to do it. And I remember they had Doom was, like, you know, on those discs as well one time, and I knew.
I remember being connected to a BBS for, like, an hour and a half just to download Doom. Like, for real. Like, it's just, yeah. Man, I miss the BBS community. Those were the days. Old man alert. Let's see. Bonds 006 says, Doom is the granddaddy of SPSs. Tiger Claw says, Doom is definitely an important game in history. The same as how Castle Wolfenstein is an important game, even though that was the first FPS game. And let's see. Bonds 006 says, Doom, Unreal, Half-Life, WS... Wolfenstein, Counter-Strike, those games will never grow old to me. So, yeah, it's important stuff for sure.
Well, and then, like, Quake didn't come out that much longer after that, so I'm thinking we're going to be coming up on the 25th anniversary of Quake as well, right? Because that wasn't much later.
Yeah. Quake wasn't much later. Quake was probably, what, like 9 months later, maybe? Maybe a year.
It was probably a few years later.
Maybe. But they'll do something really big for Quake, I'm sure. Yeah. They must be. All right. Anyway, let's move on to the next story, Dark Sakura.
Well, I'm sure we are all familiar with Hajime Tabata, who was the Final Fantasy XV director. Well, he told Squenix to bite his butt. I'm kidding. He actually left the position as a studio head of Luminous Production on October 31st, and he is starting a company called JP Games. And quote says, I started up my own company called JP Games, Inc. Right now we are preparing for a target January 2019 launch. And to everyone who has assisted me until today, I kindly ask for your ongoing support. So there's no more information than that, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Yeah, I mean, very interesting after that whole him just kind of suddenly leaving Square after Final Fantasy XV was apparently losing money. But, you know, wish him well. I think a lot went into that that is not necessarily dude's fault. So I wish him well and see what creative. Sometimes, like, from Ashes, and I wouldn't even call like Final Fantasy XV like a disaster. Like, it was a fine game. It was a fine game. But, you know, with the financials or whatever perhaps not turning around the way they wanted, and maybe the DLC just kind of went on a little bit too long. I think maybe that planning that went into that is kind of where things went wrong. You know, maybe something will rise up from the ashes, right? You know, can flop designers make a great game later? I'm not calling this guy a flop designer, but we've seen that, right? You know, it's okay. Yeah. You can make a bad game and then make good ones after that. It happens. So, all right. Well, let's move on. Loki.
All right, so this was kind of cool and out of nowhere. Apparently, there is a competitor now, or a new challenger arrives. So the Epic Game Store is something that was launched this week, and basically it is going to be a competitor to Steam, another game storefront that you'll be able to put games on for sale and also to purchase stuff with your Epic Games account, which a lot of people have Epic Games account because, you know, Fortnite is the shit right now and everybody is participating with that. Or you're like me, you have an Epic account because you use the Unreal Engine. Speaking of which, so to kind of step back a little bit and so leading up to this, or actually, we'll talk about this in a little bit. So there was a change in the revenue share on Steam. So Steam right now, for most people, takes like a 30% cut of the revenue that you make on their storefront. So, for example, if you publish a game there, you'll get 70% of it. Steam takes their 30% cut. So what the main difference with this is the Epic Store is actually only going to take a 12% cut on games. So you're actually earning an additional, you know, percentage there, so 88% on those games. And on top of that, see, so if you're using Unreal 4, normally they take Epic takes a 5% cut of your revenue from that as well. Well, if you use Unreal Engine 4 on the Epic Games front storefront, they're actually going to waive that 5% fee, so it's still going to be 12% as well. So you can make a lot more money on the storefront. Plus, being that the storefront is just starting off, you have a lot more visibility as well. So that's also a good thing. What's kind of nice about this, though, as a little bit of a perk to kind of get people their eyes on it and stuff, is they're actually going to start offering free games every 2 weeks on the storefront. No membership or anything. You just basically create your free account and you can add it to your library.
Well, I like free. Tiger Claw in chat says, I'm all for a free game every 2 weeks. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. I like free. But the only thing, see, here's the thing. Now you got all these different companies kind of giving you free stuff. So it's like I have Steam, of course, because you have a huge library on Steam. And once in a while, they might have a free game or like a 99-cent
or
game
other sites
something.
That have free yeah. Steam codes for things.
But then you have now Twitch has their own
yeah.
store thing.
Origin,
and offers free
GOG.
Games. Origin gives away free games. GOG once in a while gives away free games. there's another one too.
And transphobia. Don't forget about that.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Yes, but we don't cheer on God like we used to.
Xbox.
Sure, if you're a yearly subscriber on those things, sure. Damn it, there's another one. Oh, Discord just did this store thing, and they have like a plus plan type of thing for their Discord Plus where they give away free games. So that's the only bummer, is that then it's like you have all these different stores on your computer and all these games. Discord, I noticed, is now very big on, let us scan your computer, and we'll just put shortcuts to all your games, no matter where they're from, right here in Discord. Because I'll tell you what, those guys at Discord, I honestly think those guys are so fucking smart. I really do. And I'm not being paid by them. Of course, I use Discord as a fan. We have a VOG Network Discord plug. I think what they have done since the beginning is fucking smart, and it should be called out and commended. They put a Trojan horse, the good kind though, not the virus kind, on everybody's computer by offering those types of services that people were paying for, TeamSpeak, Slack. They give it to you for free, and they got everybody put Discord on their computers. People put Discord on their phones. When Nintendo couldn't step their pussy up, Discord did, and Discord embraced the Pokemon Go thing because that was a mess to coordinate until, you know, Discord was like, use us for Pokemon Go. And now look, now that they're everywhere in that regard, they're like, oh, well, you know, since we're here on your computer, we're just going to open up this little store right here. If you're interested, no pressure, come browse our little store. Oh, by the way, if you're a Discord Plus member, though, we'll give you free games. And you know what? Since you love Discord, we love you. You know, we want to be your one-stop shop for all these games. Why don't you just come on? Just let us load all the games. Dude, they're so smart at what they're doing. I honestly think, like, you know, I don't want to be dramatic or nothing, but it is gaming media. I think Discord is smarter than any other gaming company out there right now. Agree? Disagree?
I think it's pretty smart.
Pretty smart, but I don't know.
I mean,
they'll fuck up eventually. Everyone does. But for right now?
I still think for that, though, that before they do things automatically, there should be like a permission to allow. I mean, it's one thing that I really like about just about any app that installs itself on like your Mac. That it has to ask permission to access things like your photos, like mm-hmm. your camera, mm-hmm. your microphone. Mm-hmm. Even some of the Apple apps request that approval. Like mm-hmm. GarageBand does it right now.
Mm-hmm. Windows
because
10.
Because privacy.
Windows 10 kind of took a lot of cues from that. Like, I know with Windows 10, there's a lot of things where it will come up and go, bloop, so-and-so wants to access your device. Would you allow this type of thing? And even if it's not natively built into Windows 10, a lot of the web browsers, and because so much is built on either a Chrome frame or an Internet Explorer frame, which ironically I know we all heard this week, is just going to be a Chrome frame pretty soon anyway, right? Am I right? Did you hear all that?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. But
still not going to use it.
But those will also ask permission. Like if you try to go to a website that wants to access your camera, it's going to tell you. So that way you know you're not broadcasting your picture, you know, somewhere you don't want it to be.
And no, any website that wants some notifications to be sent to me, you can fuck right off.
But to be fair, I do first remember that on an Apple system. So now that's just kind of becoming the industry standard when it comes to privacy. But since countries like everybody in Europe under the ELULA or whatever that, sorry, the, whatever that acronym is,
EULA.
That governs all that.
Ukulele.
They have the stringiest privacy standards now. And I think everybody is kind of having to do these to kind of conform to that,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. So anyway.
So as I was talking about Epic Games.
Yeah, sorry.
So with that, you know, some of the things that they wanted to do, they said they want to have a direct relationship with players. So they said people who buy your games automatically subscribe to your news feed so you can actually send them updates. So this is, you know, if you're putting content on the storefront, you can connect with creators. They're saying, you know, YouTube content creators, Twitch bloggers, and whatnot. You control your game pages, and they, you know, welcome all engines. In fact, they mentioned Unity on here as well, which is kind of cool. And it's going to be a launcher that's available on PC and Mac. Which I think is pretty awesome. And then, like I said, you know, two free games a month. And in 2019, they're going to be doing that. So, let's see. Actually, I think they're starting it this month as well. So, the first free game is going to be Subnautica. which is you know, like a $25 game, and that's going to be coming out, or free copies available from the 14th to the 27th of December. And then after that, Super Meat Boy, which is from the 28th to January 10th. So pretty awesome. And then they're going to be doing that through 2019 as well. So definitely looking forward to checking that out. And I'll add yet another copy of Super Meat Boy, which I have on literally every fucking platform that I practically own. Except for the Switch. I don't have it on the Switch, but my kids aren't playing that game. So that's it.
All right. Fortnite, man, it's everywhere. I was just at Target the other day. They had like a Fortnite aisle.
So
crazy.
Yes. Speaking of Fortnite, so my son started playing Fortnite, and so he's decided that he wants V-Bucks for Christmas, which is their in-game currency. To which I've tried talking him out of that, because I'm like, do you see how much this shit fucking costs? I'm like, it's basically one-to-one. So, like, you know, $5 is 500 V-Bucks or whatever. And, like an emote or a dance is, like, $7. I'm like, fuck that. You do not need to pay $7 for a goddamn costume in a game. That is not worth it. Especially since I know how you play these games, and you fucking get tired of this game in, like, a moment's time after you've bought in-game currency. So I'll probably get him Robux instead, which is also just throwing money. It might as well just set the money on fire, because it's just, you know, pretty much a waste of money.
What's that game that Julian likes, Pirate 101?
I remember he talked about it on the show a long time ago.
He's still playing that, and he's 11.
Good for him.
But, I mean, maybe a game like that would be fun.
Bitch, I still play Number Munchers.
He likes Octodad.
I had to explain the Oregon Trail to somebody a little younger than me this week. And how that was, like, all the rage when we were, like, in grade school. You know what I mean? I had to kind of, like, explain why that game was cool.
Have you played the Oregon Trail?
Yes, I have played the Oregon Trail.
I have that.
Yeah,
I have not
the parody game.
It,
yes.
Oregon Trail is great.
Tiger Claw in chat wants to know about the kid. Is he good at Fortnite? Because that's a game that looks like it has a steep learning curve.
No, he is not very good at it. He is looking forward to, that was something that they announced during the Game Awards, though, is that they've got a creative mode coming out. So right now, if you subscribe to their little season pass or whatever they call it, that you get access to it now. Otherwise, us, you know, normal people who don't pay money towards that, you have to wait until, I think, the 13th to play that. So he's looking forward to messing around with that. He doesn't really know what he's doing in the game. I mean, he might get a kill, you know, but that's why I'm like, you know, I don't really want to buy him. I'm like, you know, for the amount of money, like, if I spend, like, it's like talking about, like, this costume pack that was like $30. I'm like, you could buy another game for that kind of money. Like, why are you going to spend money on a costume in a game that you're only going to play for a little bit? No. Just don't. So, that's it.
Just have him play Second Life.
No. That's just, no. No one should play Second Life.
All right.
Is that even still out there? I mean, I guess it still is.
It's, yeah.
Nobody plays it anymore.
It's probably there. Well, somebody just brought, Bonds006 in our chat just brought up Sony Home, saying, I blame Sony Home for the normalized trend of buying clothes for my in-game people. Yeah, Second Life may really be something to blame for that, or just that whole era. Isn't it weird that, like, despite how much we always kind of made fun of it a little bit, like, there's stuff about Sony Home that I actually kind of miss. Like, I just feel like there was so much potential there that really didn't get realized.
Just like, well, Fortnite, I don't have a problem if you spend money on skins. Like, if you're actually playing that a lot, then I have no problem with you spending money on that kind of stuff if you want to support the game. But I know my kids, and they don't have the attention span to play that game for hundreds and hundreds and hours.
I want it, and then they'll have it, and it's like, okay, cool, bye.
And then they're going to play something else. They're going to, you know.
I get it. Because
we have Minecraft. I needed Minecraft, and I got Minecraft, and no.
Akuma JP suggests, let him earn his own to buy stuff like that. Yeah, make him do chores. All right, anyway. Let's talk a little bit about what is going on Steam's marketplace, because they are doing a new little profit-sharing thing that doesn't have any developers very happy. In short, right now, revenue for Steam games is split 70-30, so the developer gets 70%, Valve gets 30%. As we know, Epic is undercutting this quite a bit, and that's going to be a huge deal.
18%.
But from now on, Valve is only going to take 25% if the earnings are above $10 million and only 20% if the earnings go beyond $50 million. However, However, the first $10 million will still be split 70-30, and it's going to impact any revenue after October 1st. So this really does jack and shit for indie developers. It's still going to be 70-30. But, I mean, here's the thing. This was announced almost at the exact same time that Epic whipped it out and put it on the table,
so
to speak.
Yeah, it was, they announced theirs first, and then Epic's like, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
Since you guys are fucking pissed off about this announcement,
by
here's
the way,
our... $399
U.S. dollars. That's what they did. Okay? And yes, that's a throwback.
You
want to
talk about trading games?
E3.
You're swapping games with your friends? Yeah. Here, you just hand them the disc.
That's right. You want to talk about paying those fees for the Unreal Engine? Yeah, let's talk about that. So, very interesting what they've done there. And I don't know, that may cause Steam to make a counterplay. You know, the thing is, Epic is the company to take on Steam right now because Epic has Fortnite. Steam doesn't have any new games that are huge.
Speaking of, I forgot one of the announcements that they made during the whole Game Awards.
If it's not Half-Life 3, I don't give a...
It's not Half-Life 3.
Okay.
It's Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike Go is going free-to-play. And they have this new Battle Royale mode called Danger Zone, which is in there.
Please tell me we played Kenny Loggins.
They didn't play Kenny Loggins. But, but yeah, so now they're trying to compete directly with that by having Counter-Strike Go be free to play, which pissed so many people off. So many people are not happy about that either.
Well, Valve also wanted to explain why a certain Steam algorithm led to smaller games losing traffic. There was a bug in October that made the more like this section of pages, I guess, start acting up in favor of more popular games on Steam. Valve did fix this, but it kept a change that factored in the sales, the wish list popularity. So the games that saw traffic got changed as a result. So I guess now a new algorithm is in place and it shows fewer products to a subset of customers. Anyway, Valve is saying the traffic has recovered towards the end of October as a result and things have stabilized. But again, indie developers kind of got 1-2 punched with both these news articles this week. By the way, have y'all checked out Falling Plus on Steam? Support our buddy YYR. Just because he needs it right now after hearing these 1-2 stories. I hope y'all... And honestly, if you're not going to support YYR because his games don't call to you, then cool. Support somebody. Go buy an indie game. We've had tons of indie developers here on this game. What, Time Spinner. Yeah, go get that. Or Monsters and Monocles. They'd love your money too. Any of those games we've had here on this show. Go give them some money. They'd appreciate that. All right. Anyway. Moving on, just a few more stories for you guys before we get to the classic peripheral of the month. The last one ever, because we're going to change it in 2019, but we'll get there in a minute. For now, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, there is a game that we used to talk some shit about until we figured out it was actually good that is coming out on Instant Games on Facebook. You know what that is? Pump It Up, HTML5 edition.
How do you play that on Facebook?
I have no fucking clue.
I guess with a keyboard.
Oh. Well, Andamiro has decided to go via Facebook, so it is playable on mobile, PC, or anywhere else with an internet connection. It has 100 songs, different play modes, custom play styles, and they'll release more information over time. Now, if it actually has a dance pad, that'll be even better, but no, probably not. But anyway, star points are used to buy the songs that you start off with 10. Step points are used to play the game, and you start with 60 step points. So with each song, and depending on how well you do, you earn more star points as a reward. And I'm pretty sure that you can, you know, buy more. But right now, the only thing you've got up there is Pump It Up H5 on Instant Games on Facebook. And that's it.
Okay, cool. Like, you know, it's not something I'm probably going to invest a lot of time in, but sure, more mobile games on the go. Why not?
As long as Run to You is on it, I don't care.
Bounce with me, bounce with me. Oh, I love that song. Anyway, ActF does want to point out there was Pump It Up Portable on the PSP, two of them. So there was, I guess, another portable version a long time ago, but who has a working PSP? I shouldn't say that. Probably a lot of people have working PSPs.
I have three PSPs.
Yeah,
right, I'm not sure if they're working.
Do you know what somebody tweeted about today that made me go, aw? somebody tweet, and I'm sorry, I forgot who you are, but somebody tweeted me saying, I first started listening to OLR because of OLRPSP.com.
Which hasn't been updated since you first started listening.
Does it even still work? I think we stopped paying for it. It's long gone. There's probably a domain squatter there now. But yeah, I just remember, like, oh, remember we? I just want to kind of give you a pat on the back, Loki, because a lot of that PSP innovation was you. You did good in that time, like that PSP stuff that we really embraced.
It was very
really
limited what
us.
We could do with that.
I know, but still, I loved having more podcast stuff on a gaming platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's harder to do that now. I can't just whip up an Xbox One game.
Thanks to PSP Radio.
Yeah,
that they had that radio app or whatever.
No, anyway. Everybody in chat is having a moment to pour one out for OLR PSP. Oh.
Right.
Bonds 006 says OLR for PSP was the shit. I mean, I wish we've done something that smart since.
Oh, well.
We'll do it for Game Boy Advance browser. There.
All right, moving on. Just a couple more stories. Loki.
So the Game Awards wasn't the only kind of game showcase that would happen this week. Also, there was the Kinda Funny Game Showcase, which they showed off a stream of a bunch of different indie games that are going to be coming out in 2019. So some of these are actually pretty cool. They showed a new trailer for Super Meat Boy Forever, which I guess is now releasing April 2019. And, of course, you guys are aware what Super Meat Boy is.
I like meat.
There's a game called Moving Out, which is by the guys that did Overcooked and Overcooked 2, which looks hilarious. It's a game basically about moving your friends out of a house. But it's just like Overcooked. It's kind of silly and fun. So that's going to be coming out on PC and consoles also in 2019. Showed another trailer for Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove, which is coming out March 1st. Then they've got, a game called Quarantine Circular, which is out on the Switch already. Conan Unconquered, which looked like a new Conan game. Human Fall Flat Dark, which is going to be a DLC update to that game. They had a game called Vane, which I didn't really get to watch this trailer, but it looks like some artsy indie game there, and I guess you can turn into a bird. And then they had a game called, this made me think of you, Rob, Supermarket Shriek. It's about a guy and a goat.
Me when I see box wine is on sale.
A guy and a goat, like, being, like going through a supermarket screaming, and they have to, like, crash into a bunch of stuff. I don't really know what it was, but it looks hilarious.
I'm so down. This sounds great.
So, yeah, that's going to be coming out as well. A game called Fold Apart, which is a game about these two characters that have a long-distance love for each other, and you have to use this, like, page-folding mechanic to get them to meet each other, and that's going to be coming out as well soon. And then Desert Child, which is a cyberpunk beat-em-up racer game that's like retro, and that's gonna be coming out on consoles and PC as well. Actually, that's coming out this week on December 11th, so PS4, Switch, and PC. And the little trailer that I have for it looks very reminiscent of Cowboy Bebop, so
cool.
Looks pretty awesome.
Sia Tiberi in chat says Rob Roberts is low key turning into Monique Hart tonight. Okay, Brown Cow Stunning.
Yeah, but Supermarket Shriek looks awesome because I used to
play
watch
that.
Supermarket Sweep all the time, and that show is fantastic. But this doesn't necessarily look like that. It's just like this ridiculous. I could just imagine, you know, the goat screaming sound and some guy screaming for no reason whatsoever. But
Dark Tetsuya in chat says Rob needs to stream that. Done. I'm gonna do it. Done. We're going to do some supermarket shrieking.
Okay.
Oh, girl.
You should play it too, Dark Saga. It'll be fun. Something else that I probably won't be streaming anytime soon because that would involve me having to buy one is the PlayStation Classic.
They're all over the place. Like, they're just sitting on shelves.
Just please buy one. Well, here's the thing. Is it really news for me to say they're already finding ways how to hack these things wide ass open? Like, is that news?
No.
Is it really news?
No.
But here I am. Apparently some USB keyboards can be plugged into the PlayStation Classic, and it will allow you... I'm sorry, this is just funny. It will allow you to access the emulator settings because, of course, the PlayStation Classic is using some open source emulator, and you can just go in there and access the emulator settings with certain keyboards. I don't know what it is, but I guess some will work, some
won't. Some Corsair and stuff keyboards. And ironically enough, I have one of the compatible keyboards for that.
How about that?
Yep.
Now, they are saying use with caution because you don't know how you're going to fuck up your PlayStation.
Yeah.
I had heard that somebody went in there and, like, just changed some setting and got, like, the U.S. versions of those games.
Yeah, you can change the rendering setting from NTSC to auto to PAL, and you did that. And then there was also a way they can also change, like, I think you can overclock the system, like, 20% doing that as well, which got, like, I guess, Ridge Racer Type R4 to actually run correctly.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if I fully understand what exactly happened here, but I guess somebody went into the PlayStation and data mined it, which is, you know, everything gets mined for data,
yes.
Right?
And it was the source code, because it's
okay.
The reason why is the, I think the licensing that they had on there was a dump of the core that was on a PCSX PlayStation emulator. So they had to have, I think they dumped it to GitHub or something like that, and so they had like the source on there.
So it showed that there were 36 other games, I guess, like buried, their names were buried in the code, or there was something pointing to these games in the code that make it seem like these games were like tested on this, or at one point were possibly being included, but ended up not being included. And so, of course, you know, as I'm about to name some of these games, these are all the games you really wanted, right? Such as Chocobo's Mysterious Dungeon, Crash Bandicoot, Driver, I said that for you, Loki. Urguys, I also said that for you, Loki. Klonoa.
Oh, I love Klonoa.
Let's see, Parappa the Rappa, I said that for myself. Can Silent Hill, I said that for everybody, because if you have taste, you love Silent Hill. Suikoden, and the first two Tomb Raider games. Obviously, the list is gigantic. There's many more I'm not saying. Some reports saying these games are actually there on the console, but nobody's...
No, I think they're not.
Yeah, I think that would have been a really dumb thing to leave on there, and it could have left them open to a lawsuit. But certainly some things are pointing out...
Weren't some of those in the Japanese version? Because the Japanese version got different games than we did. We got... they got Armored Core, and I don't know about... I don't think they get... Urguites, but
yeah,
they have
like more.
I thought they had Parasite Eve over
yes,
there.
Yes, they do. They have some different. They have some more RPG
so
type.
Parasite
games.
Eve, I could see that. But yeah, they got the better list out of this, to be honest.
Well, it depends on what you're into. But from my perspective, yes, I agree. They got the better list. So anyway, let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? And we're going to do the classic game of the week, where every week Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats, you should be playing this game this week. You don't need no PlayStation Classic for this.
So sticky and gross.
But this week, it is a little bit different, because Dark Sakura, for the past 11 months, every month in 2018, once a month, she has flipped the damn script.
Yep.
And she's done a peripheral to highlight instead of a game.
As you do
once in a while. It's how we keep it fresh. So anyway, this is the last one. We're going to do something else in 2019. So
yep,
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Special.
But what is the last classic peripheral of the week?
It is actually two peripherals. But they are very similar in concept. The first one is the VMU, our Visual Memory Unit for Dreamcast.
And so I didn't really want to have a YouTube of just Dreamcast noises. I do have just that lovely intro. Isn't that? It's just like you took
it's
the
refreshing.
World's biggest pee. It's just refreshing. Thank God.
I would go for a Dreamcast Classic Mini.
Yes, me too.
It sounds like the Nesty Plunge.
So anyway, and now you're just going to hear Sonic Adventure, because that's what I picked.
Do, 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 do. You know, Dan was actually watching like a full playthrough of that the other day.
And yeah, it's probably the same one I'm looking at right now.
Hold on much longer.
Anyway, but Sonic used the VMU.
Yes, so the Visual Memory Unit, also known as the Visual Memory System, was a memory card that was produced by Sega for the Dreamcast. It had a monochrome LCD, multiplayer gaming capability via the connectors on top, second screen functionality, a real-time clock, file manager, built-in flash memory, and sound capability. It actually, before the launch of the Dreamcast Japan, there was actually a special Godzilla edition. Guess who owns one? This bitch. I also have the Ghidorah one. And yes, I raised my mini Godzilla like a freaking Tamagotchi. So, it is at its most basic function. It is a memory card. It's a storage device. But it also will give you like certain layout things, like, you know, a heart sensor in some games, you know, for your character's health. You know, all kinds of different stuff. But it has like some other console like features on it, including a D-pad. It had a couple of buttons. It had, you know, different, you know, like a mode and a sleep button. And but there were also other special edition VMUs, like the ones released by Sonic Team, Capcom, and the Hello Kitty one by Sanrio. So it will plug directly into the controller of the Dreamcast. And, of course, that's how you would look down on it to do different playing. You can also hook one to the other via the connectors on the top, like I mentioned. The VMU runs on two CR2032 lithium batteries that are inserted into the rear VMU. I will tell you this. My Japanese VMUs still freaking work. Just saying. But a VMU without battery power will beep when the Dreamcast is powered on, if the VMU is inserted into the Dreamcast controller. So, as far as its technical capabilities, it had 128 kilobytes of flash memory.
Holy moly!
48x32 LCD screen.
Wait. So, basically a VMU is two Commodore 64s duct taped together. Okay.
Yeah. But it actually would fit in your pocket.
Yes.
It had a one-channel PWM sound source, had the D-pad, four input buttons, and one reset button. It, like I said, functions as a memory card, second screen, mini games, a calendar, and a file manager. It only weighed like 1.5 ounces. It was really, really tiny. So as far as the data that it would store, 28 kilobytes of it were reserved for system usage, and 100 kilobytes were used for data storage, which was divided into 200 blocks. And then homebrew programs like Dream Explorer or the VMU tool would unlock more of the reserve space that you could save more on it. As far as different mini games, you had Chao Adventure from Sonic Adventure Games. You had Sega GT included Pocket GT, which was kind of a top-down racer that kind of looked a bit like how Spy Hunter did. But now, as I was mentioning, for Code Veronica, you had a heart meter on it that would show you your character's health. And that was pretty cool. Now, people have done different homebrew games on it, including a version of Metroid, VMU Mini Pac-Man, Breakout, Space Invaders, Tetris, VMU Fighter, which is a side-scrolling shoot-em-up, VMU Chao Editor 1 and 2, so you can make your own Chao. VMU Football for American Football, VMU A Sketch, which was an Etch-a-Sketch thing, and 3D first-person shooter. So some of the games that would use them to put in like different extras is like that Cardcaptor Sakura game that I have, Rob, that came with the plate and all that shit.
I'll never get over the fact that you bought a game with a plate.
And a clock and a spoon. It also had a pillowcase. But it came with a version of Breakout, Oyatu, and Tobakero, and it had a clock with different themes on it. I'm looking at some of the other ones in here. Godzilla Generation had Atsumete Godzilla, Gamera Dream Battle, and Mothra Dream Battle. Jet Set Radio 1 had, well, Jet Grind Radio, Jet Set Radio, had a graffiti transfer. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 would let you do character transfer, colors, and stages. Poppin' Music had Poppin' Music Anywhere minigame. Power Stone came with three different games on it, like Gunrock's Gun Gun Shot, Falcon's Aerial Adventure, Ayame's Shuriken Training. Look at some of the other ones on here. I'm just going through some of the best. Shenmue had Shenmue goodies and training instructions. We had all the Chao ones. Let me see what else. So Trickstyle had Trickstyle Jr. on it. Time Suckers came with different mini games. Tokyo Bus Guide had a traffic sign quiz. Other things is like what they would do, just like, you know, with plugged into the games, like Ready to Rumble would had a punch count and a hit percentage. Quake 3 Arena played different animations. Poppin' Music had virtual Poppin' Music controller. Namco Museum, sorry, that was the one that came with Packet. NFL 2K came with Secret Plays. F355 Challenge came with arcade connectivity. Dino Crisis, health condition, and ammo count. So there's just all kinds of different stuff. D2 had what's the word I'm thinking of? A compass.
Girl, you're going to go all night if you read every game
That's
and what
all.
It did. All right.
So for the other versions that came out, there were some memory cards that came out, like a VMU that had none of the VMU features. So they had no display, input button, speaker, built-in clock. But they had multiple pages to save. There was the 4X memory card that Sega released. It had 800 blocks. I think I have one of those, too. It did not come out in Europe. There were, of course, a bunch of third-party memory cards. But as far as the reception goes, Games Radar said in a 10-year retrospective it was one of their favorite storage devices, and because it was such an original concept. That brings me to the knockoff concept, the Pocket Station. Dun, dun, dun. How about some Vibribbon music, Rob?
Oh, I will work on that right now.
Okay.
You know I love me some Vibribbon.
Yeah. So Pocket Station is basically Sony's version of the VMU. It was sold as a combination memory card and a miniature personal digital assistant that had a monochrome LCD, infrared communication capability, a real-time clock, built-in flash memory, and sound capability. To use the memory card, it has to be connected to a PlayStation, and it was released exclusively in Japan on January 23rd, 1999. It was used for specific games. It was actually delayed with its release, and of course, Sony was actually planning on releasing it outside of Japan, but the release never happened due to inability to meet the Japanese demand for it. They were focusing on the Japanese market. But a few games, such as Final Fantasy VIII, Saga Frontier II, still had Pocket Station functionality for their local versions. The most popular game for Pocket Station was Dokodemo Isho, which sold 1.5 million copies in Japan, and it was the first game to star Sony's mascot, Toto, who was that little funny Sony cat-looking thing. The Pocket Station was discontinued in July 2002. It was announced that the Pocket Station was going to be revived as an application for PlayStation Vita. It was only available at first to PlayStation Plus members and then was released to the general public and was exclusive to Japanese PlayStation Vitas. It actually had a smaller screen on it than the Dreamcast. 5 input buttons, 1 reset buttons. It did have bidirectional infrared. The battery it used was a 1CR2032 lithium battery. It had calendar functions and identification numbers. It weighed 30 grams, and it came in different colors. There was the white, crystal clear, black for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Forbidden Memories Limited Edition in Japan, crystal/clear pink for Tokimeki Memorial 2 Limited Edition. It worked with DDR. Everything from third mix, fourth mix, and fifth mix.
Used it for DDR.
It worked with Soul Hackers. It worked with Digimon Trainers, Final Fantasy VIII, Fire Pro G, Grandia, IQ Final, Jade Cocoon, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm just trying to think of some other games that people would know over here. Legend of Mana.
Weren't they going to re-release Vibribbon? Did that ever come out?
It did on the Vita, and I thought it came out on PlayStation 3. I don't know if it ever did on PlayStation 4. Because remember, PlayStation 4 can't play PS1 games.
Right.
Well, I don't know why I said play Vibribbon, because it doesn't work with it. I guess I just wanted to hear Vibribbon.
She just wanted to hear Vibribbon.
It worked with Ray Crisis. Also a super awesome game. It worked with R4. You know what game that I played that it worked with? was...
you don't get music anymore.
Was it Final Fantasy VIII? Didn't Final Fantasy VIII work there?
That's what
Final
I said earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But it also did work with Shiryu's Justice Gakuen, which was well the evolution disc for Rival Schools. Because there was that dance mode on it.
I remember I used to leave it plugged into my PlayStation, and like it would do like some mode where the chocobo would like walk and it would get items. And I just left it running like a couple, like overnight or a couple days, and I had like a 100 or so items like from that. It made the game so much easier.
Yeah, but it really did actually work with quite a good, you know, number of games. Chocobo Stallion. That just makes me Ark the Lad 3. I'm just again trying to think of games that I know of. You know, that people might recognize. Love Hina 2, Metal Gear Solid Integral, and actually Metal Gear Solid Integral was one of the U.S. games that would work with. Same with Ray Crisis, and then you know the Rival Schools 2 and Rockman Complete Works, and there you go. So yeah, it was pretty popular, but alas, it only had a 3-year life.
All right.
It lived about as long as a beta.
So there it is, your classic peripheral of the month, the pairing of the VMU and the Pocket Station, which kind of mixed memory with portable gaming with, yeah, it was a little...
With boredom alleviation.
I feel like it was like the precursor to other second screen things like, cell phone gaming. What did they call that Microsoft thing that was short-lived? Share screen, second screen? What did they call that whole thing? Or the Wii U, quite frankly.
Or even the DS.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Or what's really kind of like mobile phones now, I think, honestly, has kind of filled in that void a lot. Thank you, Smart Glass. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. Smart Glass.
We actually have color.
Don't be a smart glass. All right. Before we go to our music break, I do want to recap, since that was the last...
Speaking of music.
Classic peripheral of the month. Hold on, though. I want to recap our 12 peripherals of the 12 days of peripherals. So sure. We had, in January, the U-Force. February was the Activator. March was the NG Con. April was the Saturn Twin Stick / Dreamcast Twin Stick. May was the XE1 AP. June was the Trans Vibrator, because obviously if we're going to do a peripheral, we had to do the Trans Vibrator at some point. So she did that for my birthday month. Dance Pads in July, because, you know, it was a show that we met playing DDR, so we've done our fair share of Dance Pads. August was the Sewing Machine. It was the Raku Raku Mishin, the Sewing Machine thing.
Yes,
the Game
Boy.
Sewing
Machine's awesome.
It was awesome. September was the Sega 3D Glasses, and October was the Steel Battalion Controller, because we kind of did a combo that week. And then last month was the Wii Balance Board, and we ended it with the VMU and the Pocket Station. So,
yes.
So... starting in 2019, so here's the thing. 2017, we mixed it up with the classic system of the month. This year was the classic peripheral of the month. So next year in 2019, not only will you get several classic games of the week every month, but once a month you're going to get the, drum roll.
We're going to get the classic soundtrack. Soundtrack. And
awesome.
So...
this is just a way for you to re-highlight games you've already done, isn't it?
Not particularly, no, because there, and I'm actually going to try to avoid the usual stuff like Super Metroid and Final Fantasy.
Why? I mean, you don't have to.
Well, and the thing is, I want this to actually extend for a couple of years because there are so many awesome soundtracks. And there are games out there that one wouldn't think about the degree of how awesome the soundtrack are. And I mean, I may or may not do some of the ones that I'm going to name, but Zero Wing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how's that? There is also, what was that shooter game that used, 2 Unlimited's music?
Oh, okay. I see. So like games that maybe use some like cool music that you may have forgot about type of thing. Okay. I'm down with that.
You know, and I'm not going to go for like anything relatively new either. I'd like to focus on 16 and 32 bit systems. Okay. Even 8-bit systems like, Rekka.
Although you really should do Alan Wake. Oh my God, the licensed music in that game was so good. But it's your segment.
But
do what you want.
I'm going to be going for original pieces.
Okay.
You know, I'm just trying to think of East 3, Wanderers from East.
Yeah.
Had a really good soundtrack. And it's not one that people would just, oh, Wanderers from East. Or, oh, here's another one, Rob. Bejeweled on iPhone.
Okay.
And I'll tell you this, that game has some freaking astounding music in it for a little iPhone game.
I can co-sign with Bobby Blackwell suggesting Last Ninja on Commodore 64. That's one of the greatest, like, the soundtracks that use that chipset. Mm. So
Well, and see, that's what I want to do is I want to focus on the things that I know people wouldn't think of at first for, like, amazing soundtracks.
Right.
Things
so you're going to stay away from Final Fantasy VI because we all know that one. You know, those types of things. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think it would be fun. How about Acid Tetris as a soundtrack featuring our pal? Okay, forget it. I tried. Yeah. All right.
But at any rate, you know, and I'd be happy to take suggestions. I mean, I kind of wanted to do this one twice a month. Instead, I'm going to do it for over the next couple of years because I think that there are enough unrecognized or what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, not regularly thought about.
Yeah.
You know, soundtracks that I think deserve a little bit of love.
Sounds good to me.
Or fuck, even the Guardian Legend soundtrack is pretty fucking amazing. But no one thinks about it. Because honestly, there are still people out there, those poor, ignorant fools, who don't know what awesomeness the Guardian Legend is.
Basically, them kids. They get Gen Z.
They need to get the fuck off my lawn and get into my house on my Nintendo.
Right.
And play some fucking good games, you dumb shits.
Classic soundtrack of the month coming in 2019. Please look forward to it.
Yes.
All right.
Iwata Bow.
All right. That's going to do it for part A, but we've got plenty more show to come. We're going to take a quick break here live. We haven't done a break live in a while because thanks to Radio Magic, but we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we have more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Please don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live and in progress here at the Voice Geeks Network for episode number 755, December 9th of 2018. Our show already in progress, already running pretty long. We're having a lot of good times. I think something about Jamie being here and having another person to bounce everything off of, I think, helps the show be that 3-hour length we're used to. A lot of the shows without you, Jamie, have been like 2.5, 2. It's just shorter when there's less people to talk to here. So, anyway,
I'm happy to be here. I mean, I like having my Sundays off and I don't like working on Sundays. So.
I know. But you know what? Good for you and your job. And I know you're doing the type of work you were more wanting to be doing. So sometimes you have to, you know, make changes to do that. Radio Magic has been fun, honestly. And I was mentioning this to the live only people. The Radio Magic stuff that we did has been fun. And it's actually kind of got my gears turning for why don't we do something like this all the time? Even though you might still be here in studio, maybe there's a way we can do like pre-recorded segments that kind of allow us to have a break in studio, but still, you know, do everything that you kind of get during the show. So.
I've been wanting to do it like a mini cast.
Yeah.
That's like maybe an expansion of the classic game.
Yeah, maybe.
Just like Jamie talks shit about games.
Or something like, I know there's a couple of you out there that missed the Pokestop podcast, maybe something like that once a month for like 7 minutes just to recap like what we've been doing. Maybe it would be fun. So I don't know. There's a lot of ideas kind of floating around out there. We'll see what we land on.
Just a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. I'm actually working on my iMac right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already got Logic.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already I'm going to be ordering an interface.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be getting Hijack for my own computer. So I'll be able to start doing like more like Skype feeds and everything.
Yeah.
It would be kind of like a bit like Pump Up the Volume was, except it'd just be me and whoever calls in talking shit.
Yeah. But you know what? That's a thing people do on Twitch. Like just chilling. I think that's like a category. I don't know if that's what the category is called. Just chatting, I think is what it's called maybe. But
I don't know that I would use Twitch for that, but I'd record it.
Yeah.
You know.
Why not?
And just, I don't know how I would do it live because I don't think I'm going to use Shoutcast, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Anyway, as we were addressing with the live listeners, I think an appropriate theme for the future of OLR and why we're doing this big change, you know, after 16 years, look to the sky. That's what it is, right? Look to the sky. I'm just really excited. I'm really hopeful.
Look to this guy.
I'm really hopeful that we will be able to grow after, you know, we haven't had a lot of new people. And don't get me wrong. I really appreciate every new person that comes around to OLR. And I know some friends I've told about the show have started listening and so forth. I really appreciate that. But like on a bigger scale, we have not really been able to grow in a very long time. And I think this is going to really help us to do that. So I really hope you guys will welcome in with open arms next week the new people that are going to poke in on Twitch being like, what the hell's this? You know, as long as, you know, the number one rule is going to be, be cool. Like, don't be a jerk. So anyway, as long as
you know, I'm sorry, we don't take dick pics.
Yeah, but most honestly, I don't get a lot of bullshit on Twitch. Like when I watch stuff like the Pokemon reruns or like Bob Ross, especially. Like, you know, you would think like watching Bob Ross with the chat room is just going to be like the worst thing in the world, but actually, like the chat room made that whole experience. It really did. So I'm hopeful. I really am. So. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We've still got some news too. We still have a show to do. Changes or not, we're still going to be covering the news. So let's get to it. Loki with some rapid fire news starting us off.
Yep. So there is a new mod for the Game Boy Advance to allow you to connect it via HDMI to a TV. And it'll actually upscale it and everything. So it's the GBA Consolizer. And it's by this guy, Stephen Williams, who goes by Woozle on YouTube. And basically, it's this device that you actually have to wire up to a Game Boy Advance. It even has a Super NES controller port, so you can actually hook up a Super NES controller to it as well. But it'll upscale it. It looks awesome. It has lots of different tweaks, so you can actually adjust the color to see what it would actually look like without the backlight and everything, or even just being able to, I guess, make it look like other screens. They have options to select between the different types of screens that you would play it on, even like a PSP as well. Pretty cool, though, and I'm not sure if it's for sale just yet, but probably is going to be something that he's going to offer at some point. But pretty cool looking device. So they were showing off like Yoshi's Island and everything with that, and Mario Kart Super Circuit. It's all upscaled and crisp. So you can do that, or you can buy a SNES Classic or any other device and just throw it on there, you know, for cheap and upscale it yourself. But this is actually using the legit hardware, though.
Fair enough.
All right, and then, so there's going to be some more backwards compatibility for Xbox One. I know that everybody's looking forward to this, but Duke Nukem Forever is now supported on the Xbox One.
For the dozens and dozens of people to play that game.
There's several of you. Also, The Darkness is getting support as well, and XCOM Declassified. Those were Xbox 360 titles.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so neat, but seriously, though, there are better games than Duke Nukem Forever, like all of the games.
Like literally any other game.
Yes.
All right. Anyhow, except what was the one that Shane called in to talk about a couple weeks ago, The Quiet Man or The Quiet Place? You remember that one he called in a couple weeks ago? He's like, this game is
Quiet
fucking
Man.
Terrible. He actually was texting me about it earlier this week because I guess
they came.
He's like, I kind of almost want to play it again after that trailer, but he's like, but it's so bad.
But now
have to
they
do a
have
follow-up.
Like audio in the game, so it's not fucked up. And
maybe that'll be a thing we can do for a break in the future. Is make a new person play The Quiet Man. Make Loki play The Quiet Man. I love this. All right. Anyhow.
I would say we'd do that if we didn't get emails, but then that's just going to just convince people not to send us emails, so we're not going to.
All right. Moving on, let's talk about some retro sales numbers.
For every email we receive, I have to play The Quiet Man for 1 minute.
I like where this is going. All right.
Yeah, but I got to read them.
All right. Moving on. Retro consoles were a big deal this year, and in fact, one out of every five consoles sold in the U.S. this year was a retro device. That is according to NPD's Matt Piscatella. You know, we're getting to that part of the year where we're going to look back on the year in review, right? 2018 in review. So, you know, when it comes to console sales, one of every five was a retro console. Of course, Nintendo snatched all the wigs when it came to the retro world with their classic NES coming back, and of course, the classic SNES, which just came out last year. Reggie Fils-Aimé in an interview with the New York Times suggesting why these are so being sold so well and why people love them so much. People remember the colors and shape of the console and the feel of the controllers from their childhood, and they have a visceral reaction when they first fire up their favorite NES or Super NES games. Or if you're Loki, you have that reaction the first time you hack the fuck out of that thing. That was what he said, believe it or not.
Funny enough, I actually did play, that was one thing I did play this week I forgot to mention, not the NES Classic, but I played the NES games that you get for free. Well, not free because you pay for the online service. So the NES collection that they have on there. So I played Dr. Mario because I was like bored and I didn't know what games to play. I played a little bit of that and that was all right. But yeah, I think a lot of those consoles are selling also because you don't sell any fucking games through Virtual Console anymore. So it's their only way to get them. You know? Like, so, but no, they're pretty decent consoles. I can't wait to see the MPD numbers for the PlayStation Classic, though. Those are not going to be good.
Yeah, we'll see what that looks like pretty
soon. I'll still pick one up at some point when it gets fully hacked open and it's dropped in price.
By the way, act deft with a compromise idea on your Quiet Man thing. 1 minute of Loki playing the Quiet Man for every single email that is well written and has good grammar.
Then he won't be playing at all.
Hooray! That's his win-win.
So we'll go for that.
All right. Bobby Blackwell suggests I'll get a PlayStation Classic if it's $20. That's my bar. I feel like if the price on those starts to fall fast, which I think is going to happen, those fuckers are going to end up at Big Lots. Just wait. I'd buy one for $20 too. Why not?
They're
I bought a Dreamcast for $40.
They were way too expensive for the price.
They really
I
were.
Mean, I don't know. It's just and all they right. just don't hold up well. Like if you watch the Digital Foundry video where they're talking about like the visuals and stuff and like the different emulators that are mm-hmm. available, and like they're like, and this is running on the PCS, you know, SX Classic, whatever rearmed, and this is what PCSX also can look like. And it's like, why didn't we get that? Because that looks great. This looks like shit.
All right. Speaking of things that might have cost too much when they first came out, Street Fighter V is going to be getting some in-game advertisements. And Capcom calls it sponsored content, and it's coming on the 11th of December. And it's going to show you about costumes, bundles, and the Capcom Pro Tour. You can turn these game ads off. But players, of course, are encouraged to keep them on because you get extra fight money in ranked and casual matches when you have them enabled. Boy, oh boy.
Extra fight money for watching ads. Wow, that sounds like a mobile fucking game.
Every character has ad-style costumes where the sponsored content will appear somewhere on the clothing or model. So, for example, here's Ryu and Balrog where they have the Capcom Pro Tour logo like they're a fucking NASCAR.
Now, that I don't have a problem with the Capcom Pro Tour stuff, but like, we're going to get cup noodle shit.
Can I get a cup noodle tattoo on my buttocks? That's what I would like to have on my in-game character.
Cup noodle. That was some fucking weird crossover shit to me. But you know what? I'll take that.
More people
ridiculous.
Have talked about cup noodles since that game came out than ever
was
did before.
Well, then there was the Pizza Hut crossover that they had with, I think it was like, what was it? Neptunia? I can't remember.
It fucking works, Loki. I see, like, cup noodles stacked and stacked and stacked at Target or something, and I kind of giggle. I go, cup noodle, Final Fantasy. And then I go, God damn it, it worked. I'm a consumer whore.
It was super extra. It was just ridiculous.
Anyway, you can turn in-game ads off, but obviously people are obviously irritated about it. Meme that somebody did where they have, like, a Pornhub logo on the floor and KFC in the background. Yeah, that's pretty fucking great. Like, honestly, I would keep in-game ads on if I'm going to get, like, KFC advertisements.
And Pornhub.
Hell yeah. I'm sorry. Somebody needs to hack that so that it just plays a random Pornhub video in the background on those stages. You know that's something hackers are going to be working on.
No, they're not.
Loki, Rule 34. Is it Rule 34 or 37? I forget. The internet. Rule 34 of the internet. If you envision it, it will be made. And I am envisioning.
Well, that's just if there's going to be porn. There's always porn for.
Well, so why are you sitting here breaking Rule 34? They're good. Somebody is going to porn Street Fighter V. Wait for it.
They've already done that with costume hacks and stuff.
Do you know, especially not to sidetrack things too much, but with Tumblr about to lose all of their porn.
Well, it's nice to see how they're going to go the way of the MySpace, you know.
Pornhub is like, hey-o, Tumblr people, come over here, because we love, like, Pornhub is another one of those companies that, for what it is, like, we all know what Pornhub's got, okay? We all know what it is. Y'all know if you have a need for something like that in your life or not. But Pornhub does a great job of just being who they are. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Well, they own, like, all of the porn. I mean, like, a lot of the top porn sites, like RedTube and shit, that's all owned by Pornhub. Yeah, like, they own, like, all of them.
Yeah.
They just need to fucking put out a legit video service that's not porn. Oh, and just they'll fucking just take
hub the, video hub or
just
something.
Like yeah, they'll just fucking oh, yeah. take on YouTube. But
I hope so.
Whatever, right. They're making boatloads of porn money. So.
Let's move something less porny from Dark Sakura. Sorry, Jamie, we're being very unclassy on this show.
Porn is inevitable.
It's true.
So, we of course Dragon Quest 11S we are waiting for Switch. But Squenix is actually thinking about the next Dragon Quest game, Dragon Quest 12, and it was even asked, how is the 12th entry going? And Horii said, I actually came up with the keywords, but I can't see anything here. And he added that since Dragon Quest 11's scenario was well-received, this time I went the same reception for gameplay systems, but I could also surprise everyone and make it an epic. Now I just feel like teasing everyone, and that it is still many years away.
Hopefully enough time for them to get a new composer.
And then for the other thing, Capcom is working on a mystery game that will surprise and hopefully delight. They actually want to make a game. This is in an interview with Famitsu. Jun Takeuchi is, you know, their senior producer and is going over this. Says, and if we keep gradually increasing the size of our staff, I'm thinking that at some point we might be able to handle four AAA titles at once. So Takeuchi said, we are currently working on a title that will make our fans think, wow, they're making that? So, I mean, I don't know. They're already doing the Resident Evil 2 remake. That's not really a surprise. So, I mean, we've already had Mega Man 11. And I'm trying to think of what would Capcom. I mean, if it's Rival Schools 3, fuck yeah. It better be. Bitches, you hear me? They've already had their first year of school. They've had their second year of school. We fucking need their third year of school.
Maybe another Capcom versus SNK?
No, it's Rival Schools. It better be.
Personally, I'd prefer the Capcom SNK, but I don't hate her suggestion.
So we had Shiryu's Justice Gakuen, then we had Moru Justice Gakuen, which is burning. What would be even better than burning?
You know what we're still waiting on for crossovers, though? We never did get... We got Street Fighter versus Tekken, but we never got Tekken versus Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting on that one.
Yeah, let's keep waiting.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Maybe we'll have a Street Fighter versus Pokemon.
Bob,
I would love that.
Bob Coffey in chat says Rival Schools 3 technically already happened.
No, it didn't. So. No, because Shiryu's Justice Gakuen had a sequel to that, which was Shiryu's Justice Gakuen to like the Evolution Disc or whatever. Moru Justice Gakuen was a new installment in the series.
Now, even though you guys are joking about this whole like Pokken thing, I would be there in a heartbeat for Tekken versus Pokken. But why not? Because Tekken has those fucking nuts characters like Panda and Bear and the
Pokken.
Tree thing.
I want Pokemon.
Oh, well, Pokken was Pokemon.
It was a Tekken game. I want a Pokemon game with Street Fighter.
Oh, so you want to go around and collect fighters and, you know, Chun-Li use Spinning Bird Kick. It's super effective. You want that?
I just want another PlayStation All-Star game. I know that they, you know.
You know they're doing another Jump Superstar, right?
Yeah.
It's got, like, all the Dragon Ball
and
One Piece. Ooh,
what if it was Capcom versus Shonen Jump?
I'd take another Tatsunoko Capcom game.
I would love another Tatsunoko versus Capcom with, you know, actually playing out a good controller.
I did a double take when I saw an arcade machine of one of those at round one not that long ago. I was like, what? Yeah. Anyway, let's move on with release dates.
I found out they have an arcade cabinet also for a Pokken tournament. I did not realize
that. Yeah. I think they're obviously more popular probably overseas than here. 2019, by the way, is the year we're finally going to get a local round
one.
I
may or may not have downloaded an image of that.
Local.
Anywho.
Did you know it is going in at the Galleria because they have the signs up for it now.
Oh.
It's the old Sears, as some speculated. But here's the thing. The first floor is round one. The second floor is going to be a new movie theater. Yeah. So,
it'd be cool if we had another dinner theater, except that's still way too far for me to drive.
Yeah, Roseville's kind of far.
Yeah, I like the dinner theater.
I'm down with round one.
Oh, you mean like the movie girl?
Yeah.
They are building one at Watt and El Camino, where
that's closer to me.
So like you know the Walmart that flopped across the street. Sorry, local talk for a minute.
The one that was the Montgomery Ward.
Yeah. So across the street where they have Winco, they're putting in. So Macy's went away.
But I think one of the other things that had gone away in there previously is going to be turned into another movie
girl
place.
That's cool. They're actually revitalizing the old Country Club shopping mall.
Which does tie to this show because Country Club Lanes, the bowling alley across the street, was like one of the places we used to play DDR all the time. Because they were the only place that had like fifth mix.
They had a Japanese first mix.
They had something after that was like they were the they were like the only ones that had fifth mix for a while.
Yeah. So yeah, we used to go there like play midnight to 3 a.m. But I actually have been sitting on for a while. I won from my work, and I haven't figured out what I'm going to use it for. I have a gift certificate for a party for 10 at Country Club Lanes, including laser tag and bowling and arcade gameplay. And I'm like, I was originally going to use it for like my son's birthday, but then we're going to Broccoli Farm to, you know, for his birthday. But yes, this is what my wife has been wanting to do. She wants to tell them they're going to a broccoli. I finally convinced her that we're going to tell them on Christmas. But
are you going to have a blue harvest?
They're going to a Broccoli Farm.
That just makes me think of Blue Harvest. Because that was the original working
name. Disney's Broccoli Farm? No, we tell them that they're going to L.A., but they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to the Broccoli Farm. You'll love it. And they're like, I don't want to go to a Broccoli Farm. This is terrible.
This is when you first said you were going to have kids years and years ago. This was what I was waiting for, were these epic fucking troll moves I knew you were going to pull on the kids eventually.
It wasn't my idea. It was her idea. I think it's terrible.
I don't know that?
I don't like it one bit. I keep telling them, like, don't worry. You'll have fun. Don't worry. It'll be fun. And they're just like, I want to stay home. I don't even want to go on this trip.
They're going to the broccoli farm. I'm sorry. It's my favorite thing.
You're just going
to think when we do go to Twitch, you're going to get to see the laughing fits. I'm like beat red right now.
Her idea was to like not even tell them at all until we got there. Like we're going to just arrive there and then they're going to all of a sudden notice that, hey, there's this giant castle and lights and fireworks and shit. And what is this? You know, so that's her idea. I wanted to tell them so they can look forward to it, but I will see.
So you're going to do it on Christmas. You're going to say, the Broccoli Farm is next door to Disneyland. So we're going to go to Disneyland.
Broccoli Farm burned down.
Yeah, Broccoli Farm burned down.
Knott's Broccoli Farm.
Okay, though, it makes me think of the old Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. One day I said my nephews that I was going to Disneyland. We drove by an abandoned farmhouse. I said, oh no, Disneyland burned down, and went home. The end.
So anyways, I don't even remember what the hell we were talking about.
We're going to do release dates, but then you started talking about the broccoli farm, which do they even fucking grow broccoli on a farm?
Yes.
I'm sure they do.
Okay. No, Rob, they pull broccoli out of their asses.
We're on so many tangents, I don't remember where we
And that's the shape of broccoli.
Welcome to Orange Lounge Radio.
It's shaped like a sphincter.
Oh, right. So, yeah, the party I have. I'm sitting on this. I don't know what the hell I'm going to use it for now because I don't really want to wait until my next son's birthday party. It's 10 people. That's not a lot. So I'm just like, maybe just one of these weekends we'll just have an impromptu laser tag bowling arcade party for 10 people. Including my kids. Cause
we should just invite strangers.
I guess. Yeah. And pizza. They have pizza.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you win 10 tickets to the broccoli farm?
I did not.
Now I want to do, I swear to God. So, you know, now my brain is going on all these like tape segments I want to do for OLR. I swear to God, Loki, you and I are going to a broccoli farm and taping something for OLR.
You know, actually, Rob.
What?
Apple Hill has a tomato farm.
Do they? That's pretty close.
Actually, Becky and I used to go there to pick heirloom tomatoes.
I used to go to pet the alpacas. That's why I like Apple Hill.
Let's do that.
All right. Anyway.
Let's go have alpacalypse.
Okay. Let's travel around the world and check out release dates. I don't know if there's a lot this week. I think finally with Smash and Katamari and all that out, I think we're finally kind of dying down. But let's
Apparently there's a broccoli farm in Salinas.
Is there really?
Because there's this viral video of some boy named Max who really wants to go to a broccoli farm.
Did something break behind you? Oh, I thought I heard
I just
like a smash.
My foot.
Oh, okay.
Let's go out to the broccoli farm. So let's talk about games that are coming out. So this week, and I thought it already had come out, but I guess it's coming out on Tuesday. Earth Defense Force 5 on PlayStation 4.
Broccoli Farmer 2DX.
Insurgency Sandstorm on PC. No relation to the song, unfortunately. DayZ is coming out of Early Access on PC on the 13th. God Eater 3 is coming out on PlayStation 4. Judge Eyes on PlayStation 4, which is related to the Yakuza series. Omen Sight, the Definitive Edition on Switch. Roller Coaster Tycoon Adventures on the Switch. Warning, that is a port of the mobile game, so it's going to be dog shit. Just letting you know.
Can we get Broccoli Tycoon?
And it's not last but not least, Below on PC and Xbox One. And that's it.
You know what's happening in the chat room now.
What?
If you go to live.vognetwork.com. Pop and Broccoli. Broccoli Eater 3. Broccoli versus Capcom. Broccoli Defense Force. Dead by Broccoli. Super Broccoli Brothers.
I like Dead by Broccoli.
I hope to God YYR is listening tonight. That's all I have to say. I think I want that.
I also like Broccoli no Tatsujin.
I kind of want like a game that's Loki and the family at the broccoli farm. Loki goes to the broccoli farm.
You know what? I would do.
I have to think this one out.
I would do a children's book.
Really?
Well, she wanted to get him like t-shirts that said, you know, I heart broccoli. And
I can make that happen. Nino Broccoli 3.
I don't know. I just think it's a bit elaborate to like upset them this much.
And don't forget about the sequel, Kale Quest.
I'm gonna have to listen to 8 hours in the car of like them complaining about this, and she does this a lot, where she'll like stir them up, and then she's like, "Okay, bye, I'm leaving," and then I had to deal with the aftermath of like this bullshit. So,
well, you know what I said the sequel should be, Kale Quest.
I'm
and we've
okay
lost Rob.
I'm
that
broken. Okay. It's not even that funny. I don't know why I can't stop
it's
laughing.
It's funny because it's not.
Coming out on the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week, God Eater 3.
Yummy.
God's eating his broccoli.
He's broken.
Do you want
You're
me
supposed
to, do it,
to
Rob?
Save this for the show when we have video. This is no good. It's not good radio.
No, this is a teaser. If Rob loses his shit.
Okay.
Over broccoli. No, broccoli does make you shit.
Dedalius, the Awakening of Golden Jazz. Judge Eyes.
Golden
Shinigami
broccoli.
No Yuikon.
Shinigami no broccoli.
No more fucking broccoli. And Fortnite Deep Freeze Bundle, because you know what they're freezing.
Broccoli.
On the Nintendo Switch this week, Dedalius, the Awakening of Golden Jazz is on the Switch as well. Peach Ball, Senran Kagura is out as well. And there's some type of like double pack with that as well. Maybe it comes with broccoli. I don't know. There's also Mickey and Friends Special Card Pocket 24. So there's like Disney branded Switch
broccoli
stuff. Yeah, sure. That Loki,
sorry,
maybe Loki can maybe Loki can buy some at the broccoli farm. I don't know. Anyway, Dark Sakura, what's coming out in the UK?
Not fucking broccoli.
You better get through this segment without naming a vegetable.
Aubergine. Okay. My Little Riding Champion on December 14th. And the only other thing coming out that week, V-Rally 4. On the 14th. You know what else they get?
Huh.
Brussels sprouts.
Let's get to the mailbag, because
oh,
every
shit,
week
I gotta open that.
You guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and Jamie will probably yell at me for not deleting old emails.
You know that shit pisses me off.
So just make sure they're from December 3rd or after. What? I think there's only one from today, I think last I checked. But Dark Soccer is going to go to participate at orangeloungeradio.com and read some of her favorite emails on the air.
Yeah, there's one.
Can we have a heart-to-heart moment? Since we're talking about changes.
What?
Changes. The lack of participation in this segment has me concerned. I'm thinking about getting rid of it. You might want to give your feedback over on Twitter at twitter.com/OLR. Should we continue to do the emails? Because I just think people aren't writing emails anymore. They're writing Facebook messages. So I'm open
so
to...
So is that going to mean I'm going to have to read everyone's social media and critique them?
Well, I'm
considering bringing back something akin to the Fugle question of the week, but obviously Google Plus is going away, so it'll either just be Facebook or social media, something with Facebook and Twitter, maybe something with Discord. I don't know. I would love to hear suggestions, but I just feel like email ain't it, sis, because it's maybe it'll change when we get some new folks and stuff, but I just feel like you guys aren't.
I think for now, if you want to send us anything on Twitter, of course, tag at OLR, but add your hashtag tweet OLR.
I don't know what that's going to do, but sure.
Because if we do it specifically to bring something to our attention or make a comment.
Oh, okay.
Then the hashtag tweet OLR is going to be directed to us.
All right. Well, I'm going to stew on that. I'm not saying it's going away yet. I'm just saying it's up. It is up for elimination. That is what I'm saying. So if y'all want to lip sync for your life and save the segment, you can. But I'm just saying the emails of the week are.
You thought your email sent, but it bounced. Your email was stamped return to sender. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Loser, loser, broccoli.
Stop!
I'm doing my Trixie does RuPaul.
Stop!
To go with your RuPaul
Stop
shirt.
Stop it! Okay, read the goddamn email!
You requested that I stop it, but instead, I'm just getting started. Okay, hey everyone. One question for all of y'all. I don't remember if this was ever asked, but is there a video game that you have played that has gotten you through a tough time in your life? For me, it was Secret of Mana. I know I have mentioned it, but this game has got me through a rough time in my teen years. That's it. See you all on the flip side. Ranma. P.S. Shabbat Shalom, Uchan. Because it was, as my rabbi said, he said, Happy Shabbatica. Because the seventh night was on Shabbat. So, all right. So, as far as games that got me through a really tough position, well, certainly, actually, Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past. I was really, really unhappy for a while, and that was just like my obsession of getting my head out of, you know, actually just getting myself out of my own head for a while and living in another world because the real world was absolute shit garbage. Right now, I don't know if there's anything right now that's really doing it for me. I'll just go play pinball to get my aggressions out. Trying to think of something else that really kind of pulled me out of a tough loop. I'd say the Guardian Legend did it for me for a while. It was sort of like having a sense of accomplishment when nothing else was going right because the game was fucking hard. But yeah, I don't know. Most of the video games I was playing were to get me not thinking about just all the garbage that was going on in my life when I was a kid. So that's it.
So to go from a very laughy note to a maybe somewhat more serious one, Dance Dance Revolution, like, not to be too sappy, but like those were not always the greatest years of my life, having just dropped out of college and dealing with a lot of things about myself that I was just learning in regards to who and what I was attracted to, sort of thing. And it was not always the greatest period, and I kind of actually fell out of gaming in general for a long time. But then, you know, Rocky Horror was a big part of that. And so, you know, admittedly, the first time I ever saw Dance Dance Revolution was at a Rocky Horror convention. If you didn't know that story, that is the absolute truth. The first time I ever played Dance Dance Revolution was at the 25th anniversary Rocky Horror convention at the Hard Rock Hotel. And honestly, from finding Dance Dance Revolution, I met people that I'm doing this show with right now. Some other amazingly awesome people too. Some not so awesome people, but you know, and I'm just kidding. They're not around anymore. We don't talk about them. No, but no, for real. Like so many awesome people that are in my life, including many of you that are you're still supporting this show to this day and all that. And like honestly, like yeah, like I didn't mean to go from like broccoli jokes to a really heavy response to your question, but like what would this life be without what that game and that community and everything did for me. It's weird to think about. I mean, for the most part, I probably would have turned out somewhat the same, but I probably would have this show. I wouldn't know you guys. It would be different. It'd be so different. So there you go.
I remember that first visit over to your apartment where we had to tread lightly.
Because I lived upstairs.
Yeah.
And the downstairs neighbor who listened to gospel at 6 a.m. on a Sunday and always woke me up. I was afraid of, you know, getting her back basically.
I don't know. She deserved it.
Yeah, probably.
But that was fun. I think I brought you third mix on that visit.
I think you did. You did, because yeah. I had that jungle mix dance pad, and you brought... It was you or my old crazy roommate that brought that.
I think we were both there that
day. I think he brought... The CD image, you brought the plug thing that let us play it. I think that's what it was.
I had, it was the, what were they called back then? Not the Game Genie, but it was...
It was the plug thing in the back of your PlayStation.
Game Shark, that was it.
No. Anyway, Loki, do you have a question now that I've killed the funny mood?
No, I don't have anything, actually. So...
All right.
Maybe DDR, I guess, but...
Yeah. I would think Earth Defense Force gave you a good distraction.
Do you want another serious answer? Sure. World of Warcraft? Because certainly that community did a lot for me, too. You know, I totally love my years doing Horde House and getting really involved with that community and many of the people that I met there that I'm still in touch with to this day. But I think also more importantly, you know, when Alan and I first met, which is weird to think about, that like all of this would be chronicled on this show in the archives, because this show has existed longer than I've known Alan, which is a weird thought, but it is what it is.
So the show's been on longer than I've been married to Dan.
Isn't it weird to think about? Before he had kids, it's just like this show has been so huge. But anyway, in all seriousness, because Alan and I were dating like long distance for a while. Well, I mean, I say long distance. What do you call it when like your boyfriend lives 2 hours away? So you can't see each
moderately
other on weeknights.
Distanced.
Moderately long distance. But one way that we used to hang out, and I'm using my quotey fingers, is by playing World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds so nerdy and so super weird, but just being able to exist at the same time in the same space, just kind of like being with each other, even though you're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not really with each other, but you're kind of with each other. Well, you're doing the same thing in the same place at the same time.
When Dan and I started getting together, you know, after he called me when I had that bad breakup, we were hanging out on AOL, role-playing. In not Town Square Sailor Moon by that point. I think we'd moved on to Kuno's Island was our chat room of choice. And we would exchange, like, bad fan fiction with each other. You know, and I'd critique the grammar because...
That's
I've been
what
doing
you do.
That since I was in middle school.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right.
Memory.
Thanks for the email, even though it took us from... by the way, the broccoli is still going in the chat. But I did post a tweet. I think you can appreciate...
I will not serenade everyone with Barbara.
You can probably appreciate this, Dark Sakura. I just took a screenshot of our chat room lit up with all the broccoli puns. Mm-hmm. And I just put, can't wait to bring this romper room fuckery to Twitch.
That's a good term for it. Romper room fuckery. That means I actually have to sign into my Twitch account on my computer now.
PUBG, Players Unknown Broccoli Grounds. You guys, stop. All right, that's it for emails. You can still email us for now. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We'll let you know in the next couple weeks what we decide to do with the segment. But for now, send us emails. Because
you know something?
Otherwise, I'm going to talk about the Hollis Slay Spectacular. What?
I really don't like broccoli unless it's tempura.
I used to be a picky eater and I wouldn't really eat broccoli, but now I actually find it to be one of the better greens.
I used to really like broccoli and now I don't unless it is blanched or tempura.
I'll eat just like I love like a teriyaki chicken bowl that's
like
half
broccoli anymore.
No, I'll do like broccoli on a chicken bowl, just the littlest bit of teriyaki sauce on it.
It's now kind
steamed,
of the
really
broccoli
good.
Beef. I think I'm going to stop by Chinese on the way home.
All right. Anyway, moving on. We have more, believe it or not, video game related stories here. Loki.
We do.
We're not going to be talking about Grand Theft or broccoli, I guess.
Okay. Stop it.
All right. So Microsoft is looking to bring the Game Pass to other devices. They say every devices. Or every device. So, of course, they have it on Xbox. I know that they're planning on bringing it to PC. So, possibly, maybe other systems as well. And they're saying, you know, apparently there was a report from GameSpot that talked about... it was during the Barclays conference where they're saying, when you think about reaching customer with this content... Where their only compute device could be Android phone, you think about, well, what are the ways that a person pays for content today? So we built Xbox Game Pass. It started on console, and it will come to PC, and eventually it will come to every device. We use the flywheel that we have with customers on Xbox to start the growth with in the Xbox Game Pass. Not sure if this is something we'll see like come on other consoles. It would be neat if they did that. I just don't think that's going to happen. But it may be other maybe Xbox devices whenever that comes, you know, whatever the next Xbox system and stuff. I just don't think that, like, you know, Xbox games on the Switch is going to be a thing. Maybe, though, on Android. And the other thing could be, like, on TVs. So, like, you can get, like, an app or something that runs on, like, your Android TV or Roku or something like that. And you can get games through that.
I can't even look at you without thinking about the broccoli farm. But Game Pass, yes, Game Pass. This makes sense for Microsoft to bring this everywhere, and it's just a matter of time before they put it on the computer. It's kind of already be there, right? I haven't really explored that in Windows 10, but you would think like
you can purchase client... it on Windows 10, but I don't know if there's anything.
Oh yeah, there's got to be a client inbound for Windows soon. There's just got to be like it makes sense for them to. It's basically their answer to Netflix. It really is. Yeah. And Netflix, we know, makes oodles and oodles of money, and it makes so much money that they're able to spend that money on making new shows like Sabrina and Queer Eye. I was just watching the other night, and you know, God, Netflix makes so many fucking shows now. And they're doing it all from subscription dollars.
I'm watching Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah, well, though, I don't think that was a Netflix original show.
But that show is awesome.
Yeah, so anyway, let's move on to a console that probably won't have Game Pass. But, boy, this sounds like a fucking mess. And believe it or not, it's something that Soulja Boy has a hand in. Soulja Boy is making a new console called the Soulja Game Console and Handheld.
Well, let's just be honest here. He's not making shit.
He's just lending his name to
drop
it, probably.
Shipping, more yeah. like.
But anyway, the handheld is going to play Switch, 3DS, Vita, Neo Geo, GBC, Game Boy, GBA games, 3,000 of them built in.
Well, that doesn't sound like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Anbernic is the model, is the developer of this Soulja Watch console or whatever it is. Anyway, it's a Chinese retailer that puts a lot of this together. And I guess these consoles are retro mini video game consoles. And yeah, basically, it's going to be just it's an emulator box.
Machines.
And Lord knows what kind of games are on this thing that are of questionable
unlicensed.
Yeah. So anyway.
Which I like how they have like. No, Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, and like you know, Tekken characters and shit advertising this. I'm like, they're just asking for trouble.
You know what's funny is if you want to buy the console and the handheld together, it's $199. But if you want to just get the direct version without the Soulja Boy stuff on it, $105.99.
Right. It's just, it's a quick cash in, is all
it really
is.
It really is. They're just taking the broccoli and running. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Broccoli. No, I'm kidding. I have Nintendo news, kind of. Build-A-Bear is working with Nintendo to have a few plushies in their shop. One of them is two different colors of Yoshi. One of them is a Bowser, and the other one is a bear that gets Mario outfits. And there's also a piranha plant. It is a stuffed piranha plant for $10.50, and I kind of freaking want one. But there's also, it looks like there's like little, you know, accessories. You can get like a Yoshi coin wrist accessory and just all kinds of cute stuff. Even the Bowser, for as mean as he looks really adorable. And of course, there's Mario and Luigi outfits. I'm actually going to their collection page just to have a look at it. And, so let's see what else we've got on here. Ugh, stop it. I hate when a D went without cookies. Bitch, I might. But there's also like a little Yoshi hoodie and a Princess Peach dress. And you can get like Bowser 5-in-1 sounds. And you can get the Super Mario Brothers theme song. So it's kind of cute, you know. I would actually get just the Yoshi hoodie for one of my ball-jointed dolls. But yeah, pretty cute.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting some of this stuff from the Build-A-Bear stuff. I think it would be really cute. So, I did do like a Pikachu one once, and it was super cute. So,
remember the one that we got for Alan?
Mm-hmm.
We got him a cat.
It was the Hello Kitty
the
Ursula.
Hello Kitty, yeah, Ursula.
Yeah, we still have that.
So it's Hello
Hello Ursula. Ursula. Yeah, it's yeah. great. All right. Let's just do a couple more stories, Loki. And then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But I'm going to warn you guys, if we don't get a lot of calls tonight, we're just going to end the show because it's already almost 9 o'clock. So we've been running long tonight. So, Loki.
So apparently Steam is kind of walking back this whole allowing sex games on their platform. Mainly they're cracking down on some of these games that depict girls that might look a little young.
How has the Steam how long has the Steam store been open? Like how are we just now having this conversation about, you know, maybe sex games featuring characters that are insinuated to be minors could possibly be a bad idea? I mean, come on. It's 2018. Why are we talking about this now? Steam, you are a mess.
So apparently, yeah, there was one of the publishers affected by this was a game Hello Goodbye. And they have games Crosslove, Hello Goodbye, and Emotionless. I guess were four a couple of the games that were in question. The publisher of Hello Goodbye, they said that the Steam version had to be censored and could not have adult content. But the other, I don't know, the other ones, I'm not sure what they're going to be doing there. But apparently it says, you know, these scenes aren't there to be artificially shoehorned in. It says, and while they do exist, further proof of the characters' ages, beyond the disclaimer in the beginning, explicitly states that they're them being 18. Says the real reason they're there is to further many a times the themes of the story. So what they're trying to say is basically that, you know, they're pushing a story narrative, but I don't know. I guess it's just a style, you know, this loli style that's in the game. I don't know. Whatever. It's going to either be on the platform or it's not going to be on the platform. And there's other platforms that can host those type of games.
All right. But you really shouldn't support those games that are, you know, gross. Like, it's like some things are just don't need to be existing. And games that have young girls like that, no, just no, all the no. All right. Ending on a very serious note tonight. This is sad, and yes, it does relate to Orange Lounge Radio. Watch this. Pete Shelley, which Jason did reference in the intro, so I'm finally getting around to what he talked about there in the intro. But Pete Shelley, who was the leader of the punk rock band The Buzzcocks, died this week at the age of 63. So he passed this week, and I know he's been very influential. But did you know a club mix of one of his songs was once in DDR? Well,
are you telling me it's a cover?
It is a sample of his voice basically in the song, but they obviously did a dance remix of the song. So if you remember the song Telephone Operator from DDR, that was Pete Shelley, who was the voice in that song. Unfortunately, he passed away this week at 63. So rest in peace. That is it for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio, at least the scripted news, the part we knew we were going to talk about. Now we're going to open up the Skype line over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and you can give us a call and talk about anything you would like to talk about tonight. Maybe you want to talk about some of the news we've talked about. Maybe you want to share a broccoli recipe. I don't know, but we do have it lighting up already, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Broccoli Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It is the king of the broccoli, Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, how you doing?
I'm good. How is everybody else out there?
I'm dead tonight, basically. This show has literally ended me. Like, I'm actually kind of glad it's getting out of my system tonight so I can be a professional next week.
Hold on. You said professional. I got to mute myself for 1 second. I'm sorry.
Fuck all the way off.
Oh, baby.
I'm a professional. All right. Well, what's on your mind tonight besides making fun of me?
You mentioned $2 Chuck. That's not professional.
You know, it's like $4 Chuck now.
Actually,
you are the Blanche Devereaux of OLR, okay?
You can still get the Tempranillo from Trader Joe's that I like for $3.
Oh, so $3 Chuck. All right, anyway.
Oh, good Lord, people. Okay, look. This PlayStation Classic thing had me rolling. The fact that you can plug in a keyboard and hit escape and you get these... I'm just laughing about all of that. I'm just, wow.
We knew it was going to happen. We just didn't think it would be so easy. The keyboard they probably tested, like a Sony keyboard that they probably tested in-house, probably didn't work. And in-house in their QA department, they probably just have a bunch of Sony keyboards.
It's just probably they have – it's probably however they decided to – the device ID, however they're filtering that. For some reason, it's not catching everything, and so it's catching or allowing certain things to work on it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So Loki nailed that right on the head. But
yep.
But it's kind of interesting that this comes up in topic because I decided to break out my SNES Classic and actually hack it and put some custom ROMs on there. And when I was getting my stuff together, I forgot. A friend of mine gave me a Raspberry Pi 3, so I think in the next few couple of weeks, I will be putting together my own PlayStation Classic, and the thing is, I'm just doing it because I can do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that Jamie mentioned Wanderers from Ys, because that was one of the games I put on my SNES Classic, and I remember playing the hell out of that game.
It was a good game.
Yes, it was.
There's some good underappreciated classics. I'm really surprised we haven't already heard Nintendo start talking about a classic NES2 or something along those lines, but maybe that's something that's going to be next year. I don't know. Also, they probably have the Switch Online thing they're kind of looking at right now, because December's games are going to be out this week, I think, is when the December games hit, which Ninja Gaiden, I know, is one of them. That's a pretty big deal. I don't remember all of them, but I know Ninja Gaiden was the one that really caught my eye. But after this month, we don't know what they have on deck for January, February, March. So it's going to be interesting to see how that continues to grow out.
Well, you know, I don't have a Switch just yet. I know Mako-chan, she has a Switch. I was there when she bought it. So, you know, she'll probably jump on that right there.
Oh, thank you. Ninja Gaiden, Wario's Woods, and Adventures of Lolo were the game. Broccoli 3. Nice try. Adventures of Lolo are the games that are coming out. That's right, Lolo. I love the soundtrack to Lolo. It's such a cute little soundtrack.
I don't know. I enjoyed the soundtrack more to Adventure Island, you know?
I love Adventure Island. I wish they would put that game out. You know, Adventure Island is just... What did they call Adventure Island when it was on TurboGrafx, when it was original Hudson game?
Oh,
God,
no,
damn
they
it.
They did get it as Adventure Island on TurboGrafx, though.
I know, but
there was...
It was based on another series. Monster Was it Monster Boy?
I think it was Monster Boy.
Yeah, it was Monster Boy. Wonder Boy.
I think I know what you're talking about that, because I know on TurboGrafx it was called New Adventure Island. There was a spinoff of these games on Sega, and I had one of them. I think it was called Revenge of Drancon or something like that. It basically was part of the whole Adventure Island family, mm-hmm. but it was just like a offshoot of it. And I used to play that all the time on my Game Gear.
Yeah, I loved Adventure Island on the Nintendo. I remember that was one of like the early Nintendo games I played, and had that cute little do 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 do, and like one of the power ups was randomly like a skateboard.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Maybe someone from Konami is listening. Maybe we'll get a new Adventure Island for our next-gen console.
Oh, honey, if anybody from Konami was listening, they unsubscribed a long time ago. Sorry to say. I don't know. Twitch may give us a second chance at a lot of that, though, because I think there's definitely going to be a lot of people that are like, that shit's still on? That's usually the reaction I get. When somebody's like, oh, yeah, I remember OLR. I'm like, actually, we're still doing it. It's like, that shit's still going?
Well, yeah. I just realized, you know, going through my archives, I've been doing my podcast for 10 years. I'm just like, wait.
Congrats.
How do we thank you? How do we do 10 years, not do a 10-year show? Did we do one, or did I actually forget? You know, I'm just like, wow.
I distinctly remember the early shows. I remember that house we were in. I remember having the people over. I remember how they were all like big parties, basically. I remember some of the subsequent shows, but I feel like I'm like, all of that was across a scope of 16 years?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. And like, then I have to sit here and think about, okay, we call this studio N7 because it's the seventh studio. And the first was that house I was renting a room in where my roommate was like totally cool with us doing the show. The second was, and then I've started, oh, it was when I lived with you. Then the third was that when I was at that other house? And then we were doing it at Dark Soccer's for a bit. Oh, there was the apartment with Extifer.
Yeah.
That was a studio. See, I can't even remember.
When he had his addiction to World of Warcraft. Devil's Crush.
Oh, that too. Yes. Oh, my God. He was so good at Devil's Crush. You know what he's really good at now, actually. I know we haven't had Extifer on the show in a long time. You know what he's moved on to? He actually moved back east. That's one of the reasons we don't really get to hear from him a lot anymore. He is all about Tetris Effect. He had like a top 100 score at one point. Yeah, he's really into it. So
that's pretty impressive.
Yep. Well, Rama, anything else on your mind before we wrap up tonight?
Yes. In response to bringing Romper Room to Twitch.
Yes.
I can't see you as Miss Molly. I just can't. No. But I can see you as Miss Frizzle driving all of us in a magic school bus, okay? That. Do that. I can see that easily. Hands down.
I'm fucking excited. Yes. Let me answer a question because this is related to the call. Act Broccoli wants to... They're all fucking changing their names to Broccoli in chat. Act Broccoli wants to know, what number was the studio when you started broadcasting on Justin TV? That would have been number 4 because that was before your house, right, Dark Sakura? And then there was the house.
That was the one that was in Rancho.
Yeah, so that was 4 because then it was your house after that. Then it was my apartment and then it was here.
Yeah, because we were moving out of the house.
Right.
So we moved to the apartment because we didn't have a studio space at the rental.
Right. So it was number 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that would have been after the Extifer apartment. Yes. So
I miss Shermie.
There you go. All right. Rama, I'm going to let you go, buddy, okay?
One more thing. I get out of here. I promise you.
Yep.
This whole thing about having to be forced to wear pants during Twitch, I feel you on that. Believe you me, I feel you on that.
To be fair, because one of the things that makes OLR unique is that we are in the same room when we do this all. Out of respect for Loki and Jamie, I do wear pants when we do the show. But I have been known to wear like gym shorts, pajama bottoms.
A hoop skirt.
A snuggie. Definitely have done shows in a snuggie.
Did you see that they've actually revitalized the concept of the snuggie, but as like a big cloak? It's like a big Sherpa lined
like a
blanket,
like a
cloak with a hood
thing.
With a hood.
Awesome. But to be fair,
I might have thought about it.
I'm not going to promise that snuggies are going to go away,
dude. If you start wearing snuggies, I know the rest of my staff will. On the benefit side, I have like 60 different geek shirts. I will be sitting here wearing a different shirt every week.
Tiger Claw in chat says, do you also wear a tank top? Oh, no. I don't have a body for a tank top. right now, I have a RuPaul.
Rob,
what?
You can wear whatever you want to wear.
I don't want to wear a tank top until I got guns. But right now, I have a RuPaul shirt on. Maybe I'll wear it next week, too. It says, step your pussy up.
Okay.
So you have an idea of the wardrobe I'm going to be bringing to OLR.
Okay. All right. I know I said last thing and I'm getting out of here, but what can I say? I bring the comedy and I bring the pain to the show. In response to the whole Soulja console, You can find the same one on AliExpress for $75.
Oh, yeah. No, that came up right at the end there. I don't know if you heard of it. Yeah.
A bunch of us went digging for it. I'm just laughing. I'm just like,
who wants to buy that garbage? Nobody's gonna buy that garbage.
By the way, the RetroCore, who does Battle of the Ports, also does reviews of those knockoff multi-cart systems.
Mm-hmm.
And his reviews are actually pretty honest and show them running like not emulated. Or he'll do some of them through a capture, but he'll also show them on the TV and on the screen and what they actually look like and take them apart. And I'd say before anyone buys any of the knockoffs like that, check out RetroCore's YouTube.
All right, Rama, hanging up on you now. Take care, buddy.
Take care, bro.
All right, bye. We'll see if the phone line lights up. I'll give it like just a couple seconds here. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. While we wait to see if any calls come in, Loki, any last minute stories?
I don't really have much, but there's a Kingdom Hearts VR experience that's launching December 25th. It's going to be a VR music video for Kingdom Hearts.
That probably means it's that Utada song that's all over the new trailers.
Probably. So it's
I'll check that out.
It's
got to be PlayStation VR, right?
Yeah, PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
VR.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, so there's that. There was a game called, I guess, Satisfactory, which was...
It's okay.
It was on Steam. And it got delisted, so now it's going to become exclusive to the Epic Game Store, I guess.
Wow, why did it get delisted, though?
I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd be curious about that. I mean, did it break a rule? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just delisted to... I don't know.
All right, we'll see.
Maybe a deal they worked on with them.
Well, we're going to wrap up here in studio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another week of Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be back to do it all again in 7 days, although it may have a fresh coat of paint, but we're really excited about that. Thank you guys who have stuck with us over the years through the thick and thin and all the broccoli. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only put those voices out there if they're actually, you know, here in the studio to be able to air. Bear with us. There's going to be some changes ahead, and I know a lot of people don't like change. But I think in the long run, even though the first couple shows might be rough, I think it's going to be...
Change is inevitable.
I think it's going to be a great thing. I really do. I'm really excited to welcoming more people to OLR, doing some more things with visibility, and just kind of... And I responded to a tweet about this today, you know, was kind of like, it's a new era. It's a really big change for OLR. But you know what? We've been here before. At one point... we were doing a 3-hour show about nothing but DDR and music games. And at some point, we actually had to say... You know what? That isn't really working for us anymore. Let's just discuss all games like we're doing on our podcast that has gone on. And, you know, that was a big change. Or, you know, speaking of when I use the phrase all games, when we left our Live 365 network to join the All Games Network, and then when we made that change from the All Games Network to come here to VOG, those were all big changes too. And, you know, those were all very important eras of the show that made the show what it is, but it was a change. And anyway, my point is, with all those changes... it helps things not get stale. And so, not to say that like I'm feeling stale around here, because especially after tonight, I mean, you know, it was a funny fucking show and we had some good moments. But, you know, I think that type of stuff like really just kind of motivates you to keep going. And so when someone asks me in the future, that shit's still going? OLR, it's still going? I can say, yeah, and it's even better than you remember. So... Thank you guys so much for supporting us over the years. I really appreciate it. And we will see you hopefully very soon on Twitch. And again, please don't hate me if we're right back here on Shoutcast in a week. I know I've done a lot of hype, but technical issues. We're going to be doing a lot of changes. So I have to make sure the technical issues are 100%. I'm not doing a show 99.9%. We're going to give you 100%. All right. That's it. Final thoughts time. Dark Soccer. Lovely to have you here. We've been missing you terribly. I'm sorry you won't be able to be here for the first Twitch show, but we'll have Radio Magic still, and we will still, of course, your presence will never be lost on this show, and we will be ready to welcome you back in February, hopefully. So, any final thoughts for us tonight?
Carl! That's two things.
Okay.
I eat hands, and I kill people. Sorry, I'm thinking of llamas with hats.
I fucking love llamas with hats.
My final thought tonight is look to the sky. Yes, it is. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I don't know. I wanted to do another llamas with hats reference, but sadly, I am a bit rusty when it comes with llamas with hats. Just remember there was... Was it? I have a craving that only hands will satisfy. I don't remember exactly... I don't know.
Yeah.
But watch the whole series. It's awesome. Which, by the way, isn't there supposed to be another Charlie the Unicorn thing that they're working on?
Oh, my God. That would be great.
Like a movie or book or something?
Oh, Lord.
Shun the Disbeliever.
There's a movie. I know there's a movie coming because there was a Kickstarter for it.
Oh,
and...
God. I would love that. You know, I used to have... Get this. Last time I actually went to Alabama, my luggage got lost. And no, I take that back. It was the time before. But my mom and I went to a thrift store in Alabama, and there was a Charlie the Unicorn shirt. And it says, sparkle, 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 sparkle. I cannot find this shirt again. Mine got ruined.
I used to have a Candy Mountain shirt, too. But it.
But if someone finds the Charlie the Unicorn shirt and it says, sparkle, 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 I wear a men's small or medium right now, get me that shit. And if it's a women's shirt, it'll probably be me a medium.
All right.
There's a lot of great content still on Film Cow. In fact, 3 weeks ago, they did a video called Mario Does Drugs, Hollow Pocket Man's Cards, Kelly the Caterpillar, Weathering Butts.
All right, look, I know we're having a hard time letting it go here on Shoutcast, but can I end the show now? All right.
I reckon.
Good night, everybody. We will see you in a week.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.